This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. So welcome to Place to Be Nation, Pops Looking Forward, Looking Back, the show that takes a look at the worlds of pop culture and sports, as well as looking back at events and seasons of the past. Here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to a very special episode of Looking Forward, Looking Back here on the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. It's that time of year. That's right, for movie fans, this is our WrestleMania. As the summer movie season is about to begin, and tonight we have a virtual murderer's row, a treasure trove of Placement Nation's best and brightest movie experts to break down this summer's movie releases. And we're going to start a new game this year. Well, it's an existing game that we're playing for the first time, so we hope as a lot of you out there participate and we see who is the best at picking out domestic box office returns. And we're going to talk about the movies, we're going to tell everybody what we're most excited about, what we're really looking forward to, and then we're going to just break it down. So let me introduce our panel tonight. Let me start off with, he is one of the main guys here over on the wrestling feed. He's the co-host of the Place to Be podcast. He's the co-host on Main Event and my co-host here on the Pop Feed on Year in Pop, Mr. Scott Criscolo. Scott, thank you for joining us tonight.
It is a pleasure, Mr. Atherton. I hope you enjoyed the pre-assigned vacation that you received from your bosses. I'm glad you were able to come to work tonight. Some of us here don't know half these movies, so if you could actually educate us and do your job, then everything will be just fine. No, it's good to be with you, Andy. Good to be with you for another episode of Looking Forward, Looking Back. And as long as we don't have any Pikachu impersonations tonight, I think this show will be swimmingly well.
Well, it depends on if certain people have any cocktails in them or not. Let's see. Anyway, next up on our group here, we got, he is the co-host of 90s to Nothing and one of the Sarcastic Four over on the Marvel Age Park podcast, Mr. Russell Sellers. Russell, thank you for joining us tonight.
Pika Pika?
Oh, I just wanted to get that out of the way before anybody else did. Sorry, buddy. I'm doing really well, Andy. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to talking about the big summer movie season. Of course, that is, as you said, it's another WrestleMania kind of season for all us movie nerds. And yet, half of these movies I'm probably still not going to go see. So it's going to be fun to talk about them.
There you go. You know, hey, if you can't, those who can go, and those who can't talk about it.
So yeah, precisely.
There you go. So next up, let's get a lovely lady out on the show here. She is one half of Geek and Sassy, Miss Miranda Berthold. Miranda, thank you for joining me tonight.
Hello. Yeah, Russell kind of stole it from me. Like, I was like geared up and ready to do like my Pika Pika, but I guess, you know.
You can still do it.
But then it's like I'm just following in your footsteps.
No, I think we should all do it just to be annoying.
Oh, like friends in the corner? We're going to do
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So sorry. It's like Pika Pika.
There it is.
Yeah. I mean, Pikachu. Sorry, I had to do mine.
Although I think we're getting a much different voice, but that's for later.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow my son's like, how come Pikachu sounds like Deadpool?
Right.
I'm expecting Pikachu to come out and go, let's make some chimmy fucking chongas, you fucking, you know, war turtles.
Oh, an angry Pikachu.
Hey.
Maybe see a therapist.
You never know. Also on the show tonight is Miranda's co-host on Geek and Sassy. She also hosts Freak Out Drive-In and is a co-host on Talkin' Pop and Talkin' WCW, Miss Jennifer Smith. Jenny, thank you for joining us tonight.
Hey, Andy, thank you for having me. This is a shit show already, huh? What kind of tastemakers are you people?
Couldn't have it any other way, right?
Well,
good,
you know.
Good Lord.
Hey, we're the kings of the shit show here, you know, and queens, mm-hmm. If you will.
Queen B, if you will, yes.
Oh, okay. We all bow down to Jenny. All right. Also joining us tonight is Jenny's co-host on Talking Pop and Talking WCW and another member of the Sarcastic Four over our Marvel age, Mr. Tim Cable. Tim, thank you for joining us tonight.
I really would have let you get away with a speaking of Queens for that transition. Would have been okay. Would not have offended me. I'll learn it. I understand we'll be talking about a lot of bird movies tonight. And in keeping with that theme, no cocktails over here. Although, you know, you said we were a murderer's row of talent. It's kind of like a murder of crows. And,
oh, my gosh.
I am looking forward to shaking a tail feather.
Well,
really leaning into the bird theme here.
We're done already.
Wow. Yeah. Bird puns are just like...
So many bird movies.
So many birds. Just so many birds. Anyway, let's hope they're not angry. Oh, anyway.
Or foul.
So we're going to break down the major...
This show has blown the coop, folks.
I know. I feel like I just laid an egg. I know.
Yeah.
Stop. Miranda laughs far too much dad jokes. You don't want her laughing the whole time.
Like, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Christ, Atherton, control the talent, will you?
I would if
no
I could.
No fucking luck. You got no chance.
No, the cage door has been opened.
Yeah. I can't help it.
Why don't you just go back to sleep?
Oh, the feathers are flying.
God.
Now, if we have any listeners left. So
we'll be here to the Christmas movie preview.
So we're going to break down.
The Cock of the Walk, Kevin.
Are we talking about episode 9 next?
I'm the Cock of the Walk. Okay.
That's our show.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Good night.
Right. Most of us are sober. Anyway.
Well.
Okay. So anyway, we're going to break down and talk about the movies, but we're also going to play a game, and that is the Summer Movie Wager. And I'm going to go through the rules quickly so that everybody knows what we're doing here. So we got to get pick your movie releases for box office returns from 1 to 10. If you get number 1 or number 10 dead on, you get 13 points each. And then the rest of the scoring goes like this. 10 points for numbers 2 through 9 dead on. 7 points if your pick was only one spot away from where it... shit, I just lost the rules.
Where it finished.
I just have damn phones. 7 points if your pick was only one spot away from where it ended up. 5 points if it was 2 spots away. 3 points if your pick is anywhere in the top 10. 1 point for each dark horse or wild card that makes it into the top 10. And we've also added a little Place to Be Nation wrinkle here. We're having everybody pick their biggest bomb of the summer. So based on the budget and then the gross and whoever has the most percentage of how bad it did, that's going to be your biggest bomb. And that's going to be a bonus 25 points. So because that's not easy to predict, as we're probably most of us are going to find out once the summer is over. So we're going to go through where everybody has submitted their picks already. And we're going to start with the number one pick, where you had to be a damn fool not to put it there, Avengers Endgame. That's right, the follow-up to Avengers Infinity War from last year, and the actually not the end of Phase 3 for Marvel. Spider-Man Homecoming is. But, Russell, why don't you get us started on Avengers Endgame?
Yeah, this is, as you said, you'd have to be insane not to pick this as the number one spot. This movie is going to shatter pretty much all box office records from the opening day. The pre-ticket sales are already like trending so high right now that they're talking about a $300 million opening weekend for this movie domestically. So there is no way this movie won't be in, I think, the $2 billion club well ahead of the end of its run. I'm thinking like somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5, maybe even closing on that 3 mark. So, yeah, this is going to be huge. Biggest movie of the summer, probably biggest movie of the year. I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to even come close. Hype levels are at all-time highs for, I think, any Marvel movie ever. The trailers have looked great, and I've loved how they have just not shown us anything really about the story. They've given you just the very smallest amount of basic plot that they could give you without giving anything away. Yeah, this is the one that I think pretty much everybody on the panel already knows is going to be the biggest one, and that I think the vast majority of us, with the exception of maybe one person on this panel, is really looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, I mean, I got my tickets as soon as they went on sale. I'm going on Friday at 7 o'clock.
Same.
3D in the big theater. Yeah,
the whole crew. I bought an IMAX ticket for Thursday night. I'm going to be at the 10 o'clock showing, so I'm not getting out of the theater until probably somewhere close to like 2 or 3 o'clock. And then I'm going to go again on Saturday with some of the other PTB and comics contingent.
Ah, awesome. Cool. Jenny, what about you? What about you for Avengers Endgame? I know last year you, Greg, and Tim did a reaction pod for Infinity War. So what's your feelings going into Endgame?
Same. Hyped. I'm going Thursday at 6 o'clock. So, y'all, I'll try not to spoil anything in that little amount of time.
Chat thread.
Muted.
Yeah, but there's no way that, you know, any other movie for a long time beats this movie. And I'm very scared that my beloved Tony is going to die. And if that happens, then I can't be responsible for my reaction or anything. So it's just going to be a shit show for me if Tony dies.
As long as my man don't die, we're good. Yeah. We're my men.
All right, Miranda, who's your man?
Jenny can tell you in one answer.
Anybody named Chris?
Well, there's a Cumberbatch and a Chris.
There you go.
I like them both.
She's a Tom Holland girl, too. I know that.
Yes, he's adorable. Oh, my God.
Oh, my daughter just loves Tom Holland, but she's also...
Part of me feels like a dirty old lady, though, because he's, like, young. Like he looks way younger than he actually is, but he's still, like, really young. So I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to be a cougar. Like, maybe I want it. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Scott, what about you?
We had it out. We had that discussion. It's fine.
Okay.
You're in the clear.
Okay.
Well, it is going to be the biggest movie of the summer. I don't think anybody looking at our lists has it other than number one.
That's right.
I do respectfully disagree with Russell because there is a, in my opinion, bigger movie that'll be coming out in December that I think fiscally will beat this. But that's a debate for another episode of this show.
Having said that, the majority of its money is going to be made in the next year, though. It'll open in 2019. But
oh, sure. I'm just talking about in general. You're probably right. I think it'll probably eat up most of January, but that's a different discussion for another day. It's the same hallway. It's just different sides of the hallway. There's no doubt. As for the characters, yes, there is the big three, the three that have already had their trilogies. And of course, we are talking about Tony and Steve and the big blonde guy. I don't think they necessarily have to die to not be in any movies after this, but I do think you will see them kind of go off into the sunset.
That's fine, as long as he doesn't die.
I don't think they will, but we can talk about that post-mortem, but I there's no doubt. I think it's just a question of where they go from here. Obviously, everybody's pumped to see Captain Marvel because she's clearly the alpha dog now. So she's the one. Obviously, they're going to have to talk around this because you can't just have her save the day and all of them just standing there staring at her while she does all the work, because that's pretty much what the trailer seems like. So I'll be looking forward to seeing where they weave it. They got plenty of time too, because yeah, it is almost 3 hours. So, but it'll be a fitting end to a great story, and I look forward to the mega box set that comes out sometime down the line, where all three phases are put in one gigantic box for a few billion dollars or whatever.
It has to be shaped like an Infinity Gauntlet.
Oh,
yeah,
that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it'll have to have the glove on. Oh yeah, there's no doubt. They tried to do that. The problem was they tried to do those with the first phase with the briefcase with the Tesseract. And then the second then yeah. And those yeah the Tesseract, but those they got ridiculously expensive and then they stopped making them because they were just so clumsy. But if they're gonna make something like badass, it definitely has to have the glove. So, having said that, I think the movie's gonna be fantastic, and I don't think we're gonna see any. any deaths. That's my hot take.
Well, I don't think any so, deaths. That's okay.
I don't think anybody dies. I don't.
So for the sake of comparison, Infinity War made $679 million domestic last year. Yep. You got to figure that Endgame going into this season has pretty much is going to make that money if it hasn't, you know, it's guaranteed money that it's going to make what Infinity War made. I mean, that's kind of what you're looking at. And I would think then some because you've had a year's advance for people who, for whatever reason, weren't on the bandwagon to jump on the bandwagon. And yeah, I mean, something would have to go catastrophically wrong for this not to be your number one with a bullet, or catastrophically right for yes. something else. If another film has just an embarrassment of riches, but I just really don't see that happening in this year's summer slate. So it, I mean, it's almost like, what's your number one excluding Endgame?
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's just hard to even include it in the discussion because it's so not a competition here.
And it basically has two weekends that are completely open with no competition.
Well, yeah, right. People are smart enough to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Now, Tim, you weren't the biggest fan of Infinity War, correct?
Yeah, but I mean, I've kind of made my peace with that. I'm not going to act like I'm going to stay at home for Endgame. I mean, shit, they'll get my money opening weekend. If not, probably won't be Thursday, but will be Friday. I'm not going to push it beyond that. I mean, even if you don't think you're going to like the movie, which I don't know where I'm at on it just yet, you still want to be part of the conversation. You're going to want to be part of the zeitgeist. Like, I cannot foresee muting all of my chats and my Twitter and everything and living in a bubble because, oh, I'm not going to see it ideally at the most convenient time for me. No, I'm going to get my ass out there and see it. And just to say I saw it and can talk about it for better or worse, there is certainly a sense of urgency there.
Yes, exactly. So go ahead.
It sounds like I'm the only one that is not going like Thursday or Friday.
I'm not going until the Tuesday after.
Oh, see, I'm going. So we were doing the Sunday matinee just because the group that I go with, that's just what's convenient for everyone. And it's like way cheaper too.
Yeah. Mm. So Avatar made $2.7 billion worldwide in its run. Now, I know we're talking about the summer, but does anybody see Endgame beating that?
Yeah, I can see that actually happening.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, think it crosses the $700 to $750 million domestic, and I could easily see it going like I said before, the $3 billion number.
I mean, aren't they talking a potential $600 million international just opening?
Wow. Yeah, opening weekend is like probably going to be more than $500 million. So with a second weekend with no competition, it's almost guaranteed to cross the $1 billion mark faster than just about any movie ever has.
And Ian, is that the first run? Because didn't Avatar come out like twice? Didn't it come out again like a few years later when they like?
No, they re-released. They re-released Avatar into theaters like within a year of its initial release. Okay. It was one of those like Titanic and My Beloved Ghostbusters who did that.
Yes, I do remember that. Is that the whole thing, Andy? That 2.7 billion, or was that just
according to the Google and Wikipedia? It says over 2.7 million. So,
billion.
Yeah, billion, does not take into account the home video and television.
It television. Probably did. No, I'm not saying home video because it came out in what? Oh,
2009, I believe.
2009?
Yes, 2009.
Yeah, so I'm just, I bet your first run it probably made, I would say probably 1.5 or 1.6 of that 2.7, and then it probably made another big run the second time around.
I don't know. Wasn't that a winter, like around Christmas time release? Mm-hmm. And then I figure 2010, I don't know off the top of my head, seems like you could give Avatar pretty wide berth. I don't know what it would have been up against like in that early 2010 period, but
it came out December 10th. Yeah. That was London. US, it came out December 18th, 2009.
I don't feel like it was up against much competition in the you know, succeeding months, which probably helped it a lot. And I mean, Endgame is, it's got, I mean, it's going to wipe out its summer competition, but you figure, I mean, it's got more of a race to, you know, that $1 billion threshold than Avatar in the first place. Of course, it'll get there, but is it going to beat it? I just don't know.
Well, is anything even out, like this weekend with Avengers coming out, is there even anything else? Apparently, I can't talk. Is there anything else coming out this weekend? I mean, remotely of.
Like, no.
No. No. It's all like so. I mean, smaller indie stuff. Like, you're not really going to get any major competition for Endgame at all for two weeks.
I was double checking myself there.
No, and theaters are probably going to put in many, many of their screens for overflow and probably as as they're possibly allowed to this weekend. So, yeah, I mean, and also you got to remember, it, I don't know if Avatar at the time was released in China because that was, you know, 10 years ago before we started really getting, you know, U.S. movies into that market where you saw blatant, you know, attempts to put things, you know, Chinese influence or Chinese funding to get your movies released, a la Skyscraper or Transformers or whatever, so they guarantee that. And now Marvel has that. You know, that Shen, I think that's how you pronounce it, movie in development. So I think it's going to make, you know, $1 billion in China alone, probably. All right. So
in terms of release calendar, that's literally it this weekend. That's it. There's nothing else.
Okay.
All right. So the next movie we're going to talk about now, Jenny had this at number two. Everybody else on the panel has this at number three. We're going to talk about Toy Story 4. So, Jenny, let's lead off with you since you have this the highest out of anybody.
So I was debating between Toy Story and Aladdin and The Lion King. And so I turned to the person who I feel like knows the most things about box office and very important matters such as this, my 9-year-old son. And I asked him which one of those movies he thought would do the best. And that's what he chose. Probably partly in because we went to Disney during Christmas and he went to Toy Story Land. And so he was like crazy about it, even though he wouldn't ride anything. So I feel like my 9-year-old probably knows what's up. So that's why I went with that.
Yeah, it was. I was there in August, and it is a feast for the eyes. Even if you don't go on a ride, and I went on, you know, two out of the three rides, it is. It's gorgeous. You know, it's a lot of fun. But now Scott and I were in our 20s when this came out. You all were probably youngins, not youngins when the first one came out. I mean, I was in college when the first Toy Story came out. And this franchise has shown it has legs. I mean, every time you think it's over. You know, Toy Story 3 seemed like a very definitive ending. You know, the toys were given to Bonnie. We almost got killed at the dump, which was a very terrifying scene for my then 2.5-year-old for his first movie in the theater. You know, and then, I mean, I got choked up when they kind of accepted their fate at the end of the movie where, like, they're all going down that heap towards, like, the burner, and they all kind of, like, grabbed hands and like, all right, well, we're dead. Let's just do it together kind of thing. But, Miranda, you know, you have a son also. Is he excited for Toy Story 4?
He is. So it's really funny that Jenny says that that's how she chose, because I too was going back and forth between the three of those and like where I would place them. And I too went to my son, who is a very good friend of her son's, and said, hey, which one of the three? Like, what is your thoughts on this? And he was like, oh, definitely Toy Story 4. And we saw the preview for it when we went a couple weekends ago and watched The Missing Link, and the preview was enough to kind of like emotionally, I was like, ooh. I don't know. I think it's going to be a heart wrencher kind of in some ways, like three was, just like you said, three, honestly, they could have ended it at that and I would have been happy and I would have been, you know, like, hey, this was done well. But now four, I'm just as excited to get it, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm very, yeah.
And it doesn't have a lot of competition around. I mean, you know, Secret Life of Pets comes out 2 weeks before, and then the next animated movie doesn't come out till like the end, another month, almost 2 months later, actually, before another major animated movie, it looks like, comes out. So this movie's going to do well. Plus, it's, you know, when in terms of the contest, you guarantee at least 2 tickets per person because, you know, kids can't really go by themselves for your target audience for this.
And you're going to have adults go because of, you know, how old all of us were when the first ones came out and, like, kind of growing up with these, whether you were in college or not quite yet, you know, we all kind of grew up with the story and we want to see where it goes. So I'm sure there's people, especially on this panel, that don't have kids that they're going to go. Mm-hmm. Like, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3 made over $400 million. Which is really impressive. As you said, Andy, it's not a crowded field in June. I mean, this looks to really dominate that whole month. I think is my kind of nearest point of comparison. If you look at something like Incredibles 2 last year, which again, it is a really hotly anticipated sequel, long time coming sequel for that matter, that made over $600 million domestic, which I am just looking at right now, and I'm frankly kind of shocked by, which, I mean, not that it didn't deserve to. I'm just I can't believe it made that kind of money. I mean, that was really your number two summer movie last year was Incredibles 2, if you count Infinity War. If you don't count Infinity War, it would be the number one. So if Toy Story 4 does anything close to numbers like that, this could really be a lock for number two. I don't think that's a bad pick at all.
Yeah, no, I struggled with that one too. Like it was really tough picking between Toy Story 4 and the Lion King remake.
Yeah,
and Toy Story 4's only real competition at the box office that weekend is going to be the Child's Play remake, which is an R-rated, like hard R horror movie.
Yeah. So
you're
limited audience.
Yeah, there. Completely different audiences. It'll probably be number two, I think, but it's going to be no competition really for Toy Story 4. I think that it opens big at number one.
Yeah, that's
certainly.
Yeah, it's going to be strong. It's you know. It's funny, too, is that they actually – Pixar, originally, this was supposed to come out last year, and Incredibles 2 was supposed to come out this year, and they kind of, like, changed tact, I guess, somewhere. I don't know if the Lasseter thing had anything to do with it, but that's kind of – I mean, I imagine what it would have done last year, you know, considering, you know, it came out – you know, Incredibles 2 was good, but it was just way too much time, I think, between, which led to some critical – but it didn't affect the box office, apparently.
Now, Incredibles 2 really would have been better served had it come out like maybe 4 or 5 years after its original rather than the exuberant length of time between one and the other. Toy Story 3 was how long ago?
I want to say
2010.
Yeah, close to 9, 10 years ago. Yeah,
so almost 10 years between sequels. I mean, that is a lot of time, but I don't think it's going to really affect it all that much. I think that it's
if anything it might help.
Yeah, if anything it may help. This is really Disney's year. Whenever you look at the rundown of what the top movies are going to be, like right. Disney is basically just going to be bathing in money. They're going to be drowning in it. There's so many Disney movies we're going to be talking about. It's insane. But you know what? If they're all good, then you know what? I, for one, welcome our mouse-eared overlords.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mouse-eared overlords.
Yeah, they could make back all the money they spent on the Fox merger.
Really pretty much. Like,
we should make shirts. We support the mouse-eared overlords.
Well, I technically actually work for the mouse, kind of. So they're one of our.
Oh, so you can't wear that shirt. Oh, it would be even funnier if you wore that shirt.
He just works for evil overlord.
Yes, they're one of our owners, and we don't get the perks, which is amazing.
Hey, if Disney can give me good X-Men movies, then I'm good with it.
Well, there we go.
That's a whole other rabbit hole.
So we're gonna go ahead, Scott.
So three came out on June 18th, 2010. So it'll be almost exactly 9 years.
Yeah, that's a good chunk between sequels, but not the longest we've ever seen before. So, and with all the original cast back and the knowing how the creative process with Pixar tends to work, this one should still be a quality movie. So if it's quality, then I don't think the distance or the length of time between movies is really going to matter that much.
Yeah, and it's also generational. You got to remember, people who were, you know, 5 years old or 10 years old when the first one came out, you know, are in their 20s, 30s now, and they have kids of their own. So they want to introduce them to it now.
Exactly. You know, it's kinda, I mean, the original came out in 1995. I was 13 years old when that movie came out. So this is a franchise that I've grown up with. I think all of us have kind of grown up with. And it seems to, as Jeannie and Miranda talked about, it seems like it transcends generations. So this is a franchise that may have legs longer than we ever anticipated.
Yeah. So we're going to stick with the Mouse House. Now, we're going to talk about The Lion King next. Now, myself, Russell, and Tim all had it number 2. Jenny had it at 3. Scott had it at 4. Miranda had it at 5 on their picks here. And for me, yeah, it was a real toss-up between Lion King and Toy Story 4. And I just went Lion King just because something about it, you know, just the spectacle. You got Jon Favreau behind it. And they, you know, they got James Earl Jones back amazingly, and they have a, I'm not so sure on some of the other voices, but these, I don't know what they call it. Now, they're not really live action because they're all CG. It's just a different kind of CG compared to animation. It's, you know, live action CG, I think they call it, or photorealistic, whatever term they want. But
it's hyper realistic CGI, some of the best looking stuff that you'll ever see. And, glad you brought up Jon Favreau, because he also directed the live-action remake of The Jungle Book, which wound up being a pretty huge hit for Disney when it came out. Yeah. And this movie looks even better.
they have all that. Now, I talked about this on the last episode of The Great Debate, where we said, you know, they have all this IP, and whether we like it or not, whether they're good or not, like, you know, we're going to see for every... You know, Lion King, that looks great. Jungle Book, there are going to be Alice in Wonderlands. There's going to be, you know, these other movies, these that are like not, don't exactly hit, but
Dumbo.
You know, Dumbo, I actually just saw Dumbo. It wasn't terrible. It had some good parts to it. I thought the performances were good. They had to obviously change some things with it, but I didn't think it was a bad movie. It was like, you know, middle of the road for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily that I would think it was a bad movie. I think that it's just nobody really cared all that much.
Yeah, and Tim Burton. Everybody likes Tim. Everybody prefers Tim Burton when he's doing his original, not taking over existing IP. I think that was, I think, a lot of feeling with that one.
These Disney remakes can be kind of hit and miss, but when they hit, I mean, they really hit. All of the generational knock-on effects that we talk about around Toy Story 4 is also going to be true of The Lion King. I picked it as my number 2 just because it does have that certain something about it where there just seems to be that much more buzz around this for whatever reason. You know, you can look at when was the Beauty and the Beast remake? That was
2017,
just a couple years ago. I mean, that made $500 million. So as excited as people were for that, and as much as they showed up, I think they're really going to show up for this. And I think you're also going to get repeat viewings as well, which is going to account for a lot of its gross. And I don't know that you necessarily get that to the same extent with a Toy Story 4. So, I mean, it does have more competition. You look at earlier in the month, Spider-Man Far From Home, and then just 2 weeks later, Hobbs and Shaw. So, you know, that may cut into it a little bit, but I don't know. At the end of the day, I still see this one outperforming Toy Story 4 by just a hair, and I feel good about it as a number 2.
Yeah, same. This is a billion-dollar film.
Yeah, easy. I mean, it's well-regarded. This was like the biggest hit when it came out in 1994, I believe. Yeah, it broke all kinds of records. And to this day, it's still one of the most beloved movies, with probably arguably one of my favorite villains of all time. I thought Jeremy Irons as Scar was just incredible.
Let me ask a question then. I'm going to throw a little doubt into all this. And I'm looking at the numbers now. The Lion King in 1994 made $968 million. Now, that's back when movies were, let's see, 94, what, $8 probably, $8.50. So if you add that to now, that's a couple billion most likely.
Yeah.
So this begs a question. Why did it have to be done again?
Because The Lion King,
before, let me go.
Because they have the existing IP.
For another $1 billion.
Yeah.
Another generation.
I'll tell you why.
If it has to be done again.
Let me go this far. I'll explain why. Because Dumbo is one thing, even though I didn't think they needed to do that either. But Dumbo, the animated Dumbo came out in what, the 50s?
Or maybe 41.
I think.
Sure.
Okay, Jungle Book came out in 81?
No, that was the 60s.
Something like that. So yeah, maybe it was older than that.
Mm-hmm.
Lion King's only 25 years old. So it's not like it needed to be refreshed. And let's be honest, the moments in that movie are epic. The Lion King is in that Snow White, Cinderella, you know, Fantasia rarefied air as one of the top three or four greatest Disney animated movies of all time. I can't see Disney. I mean, I know Disney's making a fuck ton of money all over the place. I just don't understand why we have to remake a movie that's only 25 years old just to make another billion.
Here's why.
I don't get it.
They started this whole like remake thing, and a lot of people gave them a lot of shit, but it's worked. Yeah. And you have to think, kind of like we were talking about earlier, all of the people that went to Lion King as a kid and have loved it and made it be one of those top-tier Disney movies that you're talking about, they have kids, and they're willing to spend the money, and they're willing to take them because, like you said, most people that go to a Lion King movie, they're not buying one ticket. They're buying two or four or, you know, however many are in their family. So Disney knows they're, I mean, yeah, I understand what you're saying, like why really need to. It's not a matter of need to. It's a matter of like why not at this point.
Yeah, you can say the same thing about Beauty and the Beast, which was a 1994 animated film. 91?
Yeah, 1991.
Mm-hmm. 91.
Okay, so still, you know, 90s, not that far removed from The Lion King. But look at what they – look at how that cleaned up. And I can't say that I'm necessarily the audience or in the market for this, but I can't really deny its power. Something else I didn't talk about was let's not sleep on the Beyonce effect here either. She's going to put asses in the seat.
That's true.
I know that that may sound kind of ridiculous to some people, but
no,
we've seen it happen, and that's kind of a guarantee here.
It's going to happen again. I mean, it's an all-star cast.
It is, yeah.
Top to bottom. So if star power is still a valid thing in modern Hollywood, which is debatable, I think that's another strength this movie has is that it is loaded top to bottom with great talent. So it looks great. Those trailers are all sorts of great hype. They've been cut very well. They know their audience. So it's going to be another just license to print money for Disney.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to fall. I think Toy Story 4 will make more, and I don't even know. It would have to make a billion to beat the animated in 94, and I don't think it's going to. I think a lot of people – the all-star cast thing is nice, but I'm sorry. I just think the first one had such an emotional effect on so many people that you could pretty this up all you want. I don't think it's going to have the same effect. I don't. I think it'll make money.
People love repurchasing their childhoods, though.
But
yeah.
I agree, but I don't think enough to beat the first one or even beat Toy Story 4.
Oh, no. I picked Toy Story 4 above The Lion King, too.
Yeah. It won't be a bomb.
Hard thing to do, but
– right.
I'm with everybody else on the whole, like, you're buying multiple tickets. People love to, like, revisit their childhood, you know. Why not, for your answer? Like, there's multiple reasons why this one is definitely somewhere in the top 10, without question.
Oh, it'll definitely be in the top 10. I don't think it's going to make – it won't be Toy Story 4, and I don't even know if it'll even make the money that the first one did. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Sticking under the Mouse House, we're going back to Marvel with Spider-Man Far From Home, which for the panel, most of us had at 4. It was myself, Russell, Tim, and Miranda. At number 5, Jenny had it, and Scott had it number six. So everybody had it in the same ballpark. That's where a lot of our lists are similar. Now, this supposedly takes place right after Endgame, like in terms of the timeline. And it is actually the official end to Marvel's Phase 3, which apparently they're not doing phases anymore, according to Mr. Feige. But, Jenny, let's talk about Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay, so basically you have the same audience that you get for Endgame. So, I mean, that's guaranteed, right? There are tons and tons of money. And then, like, just for me, I think that Homecoming was a good movie for me, but I think this one might end up being better.
Yeah, well, I think that's where we see the Peter and MJ romance really start to blossom a little bit, and the introduction of Elementals. I think that's where they are. Comics guys, correct me if I'm wrong, please.
I don't think you'll be seeing that in Homecoming.
Okay.
No, they tease that as an idea, but I think what we're actually seeing is Molten Man and Hydro Man.
Oh, that's it. Sorry. Yeah, I was confused there.
And Molten Man and Hydro Man. All right.
And also,
no birds to be found.
No, that was the first movie, Vulture.
That was the first one.
Bring back Vulture.
I mean, we need more birds, is what I'm saying.
Well, that would be an interesting twist on a character. He's no longer molten, it's molting.
He's done.
I'm nowhere near done, madam.
And then we have also Jake Gyllenhaal joining the MCU as Mysterio.
Yeah. Great casting.
Yeah, so Russell, why don't you talk about your thoughts on Spider-Man Far From Home?
They're giving me fishbowl head Mysterio. These people can have all my money. That was the line in the sand. If they were going to do Mysterio, I was like, give me comic book accurate looking Mysterio. I didn't think they'd actually do it. Then I saw the production stills, that first trailer, and I was like, you beautiful sons of bitches, you did it. And you made it look not shitty. That's the great thing about it is I'm all in. I don't think that it looks bad. I don't think it looks cheesy. I feel like it fits the aesthetic. It fits this world that the MCU has created for Spider-Man. And as a big fan of Spider-Man Homecoming, I couldn't be more excited about Far From Home. I think that this is a great way to follow up Endgame, puts the new Spider-Man franchise in a great position to make a whole just ton of money. Because after Endgame, people are going to be like, oh my God, what happens next? You know, what's the future of the MCU look like? And Spider-Man Far From Home is going to give you your first real taste of that new world. So look for this one to do incredibly well. And it just looks like a ton of fun because Tom Holland is maybe the best on-screen Spider-Man we've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody really gets the balance of the characters of Peter Parker and Spider-Man the way this guy does. I hope he plays this character forever. And I hope they allow him to really grow up, to like go through into the more adult side of Peter Parker and, you know, allow him to naturally get through the high school parts and move on. And maybe even keep developing some of his teenage supporting cast around him. Some of them have real potential, and some of them need to really step their game up a bit. But Homecoming was certainly a great start for them, and I think that Far From Home could stand to kind of pull like a Batman Begins and Dark Knight kind of thing for this character.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be different than last year when we had we had Infinity War, which was such a downer. And then we had Ant-Man and the Wasp, which was kind of like a little sorbet. It was kind of like, okay, let's give you something light. Yeah.
It was a feel-good movie.
Yeah, it was. And then it only, you know, connected to Infinity War at the stinger at the end of the movie. Now, I heard a rumor, now I don't know how true this is, that there was going to be, in each Spider-Man movie, he was going to have another Avenger as a mentor. sort of character, like how we had Tony slash Iron Man in Homecoming. So a lot of people were saying there's rumors that Miranda's favorite, Mr. Cumberbatch, may make an appearance in this movie as Stephen Strange, since, you know, Mysterio is the main villain, which has to do with magic and wizardry or however, Lelouch. And also that it just happens to take place in London, where there's another sanctum. So, you know, I think that that's a possibility, and I think they're going to, we may or may not learn that by the end of Endgame.
Parts of it do take place in London. A good chunk of it that you see in the trailer actually takes place in Venice. So it's kind of like a Spider-Man European vacation, if that gives you any kind of indicator. As far as like his new mentor, that's going to be between two different people from the MCU's past, and that's Nick Fury and Maria Hill. As it seems like there's going to be a reemergence of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the new version of the MCU post-Endgame.
Oh.
You gotta bust my bubble. I was over here dancing.
Well,
like,
it was
real.
Well, just like Mysterio's bubble, it's all an illusion.
I was just speaking rumor and innuendo, so I don't know for sure.
But Mysterio is going to wind up being a character who I think any comics fan knows that all his powers are not real. It's all illusions. Quentin Beck was a very talented special effects guy, and he fashioned himself into this character of Mysterio. Now, I think that what we're seeing in the trailers that makes him look kind of heroic is he's probably teamed up with these two other villains to kind of make himself look heroic, but there's actually a more nefarious plot going on with him, and that'll probably be revealed towards like the end of the movie. But I think Spider-Man Far From Home, much like the last Ant-Man and the Wasp, was going to wind up being that kind of feel-good movie. It's a good palate cleanser for those who are like, oh my God, I just went through this heart-rending epic in Endgame. I need something lighter and easier to kind of give me a little cleanse, and this movie is going to be that.
All right. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so Homecoming was your number three box office performer of 2017, and that was kind of a untested, unproven commodity there. I mean, on the one hand, yes, it's Spider-Man, but it was like yet another Spider-Man reboot. So it was sort of, I don't know, there was some speculation as to how well it's going to do, how much interest there really is, how much momentum there is. But it was very well received. And I think in recent years, we have seen there is a lot of appetite for Spider-Man. You go back to Into the Spider-Verse, which again, very well received and strong performer last year in the holiday season. Even before that, something like fucking Venom of all things, you know, with the September release.
You mean Venom fucker.
Venom fuckers that we are paid $200 million to see that movie. I mean, I don't know. I just, this version of Spider-Man, people are into it. You combine that with that kind of tailwind effect from Endgame, and I think it's going to beat the gross on Homecoming, and that's going to be definitely enough to carry it to what I had it as my number four, just below Toy Story 4 and The Lion King. I think that'll be a comfortable number four. And I think it's something that people are going to be overlooking a little bit. It's going to sneak up on them how much this movie is going to be hanging around in theaters. And I look forward to do big numbers. And I agree with everything that has been said. Would love to see a Doctor Strange cameo. Don't know if it's going to happen, but seems like a distinct possibility. So we'll watch for that as well. Could play into its buzz a little bit. I like it.
Cool. Scott, you got any thoughts on Spider-Man?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, instead of giving a hot take, I kind of want to give the panel an opportunity to answer this. I didn't put it – I mean, I put it sixth because Does anybody think, and rather than me giving the hot take, I want to ask your opinion on this. Does anybody think that there's going to be a Marvel hangover? Like, Endgame's going to end. We're all going to be like, wow, that was fucking great. And now we're going to look ahead and go, Jesus, there's already another movie? Fuck, I got other stuff I want to see. Do you think this is more like a, and I'm not dissing Tom Holland by any stretch, and Homecoming was great, and this will be good. But are people going to be like, fuck, I'll just get the Blu-ray. Or I'll just watch it on HBO. I can afford to. I'd rather go see something else. You know,
and it's not
like you think there's a hangover.
Numbers. No.
Well, and it's the only major release 4th of July weekend, as far as I can see.
Yeah, and that's. I mean, it's positioned perfectly too with that. Like you just said, I'm glad you said that 4th of July weekend. It's gonna be fine. There's no chance that it gets into what the long. Standing talk has been after every one of these major MCU movies is when is the superhero movie bubble going to burst? When is it going to finally reach like mass saturation and everybody just start staying home? A lot of people thought that it was going to be Ant-Man and the Wasp, and that didn't happen. People went to see that movie and made it another big hit. A lot of people thought – even people even said that about the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie whenever that was coming out. They thought that was not going to – that was going to be the moment. Mm-hmm. And Spider-Man is still arguably Marvel's most popular character. So, yeah, that's – it's not going to be a thing yet.
Well, the difference, though, at least what I think is that all those movies happened while the story was still going on. The story's going to be over. So there's nothing – I don't say there's nothing to look forward to, but all right, the game has ended, pun intended. So we all just kind of take a breather and move on, well, and the summer will be dominated by other stuff. Like, yes, you know, Homecoming was in the middle of the story. Marvel was in the middle. Well, Captain Marvel was going to do great anyway. Ant-Man and the Wasp was still the middle of the story. Now that the story is going to be over, do you think maybe they could have waited and maybe had this come out Thanksgiving?
I do think it's a fair question to ask, because I can tell you after – Infinity War last year, I had a superhero movie hangover for a while, and I kind of wondered when that was going to really take hold. As you say, when's the bubble going to burst? I don't think we're there yet. I don't think that Endgame is going to cleanse everyone's palate to the point that they just aren't going to show up for more of these. I mean, while the larger story of the Avengers may be effectively closed, they're going to leave that window or that entire door open for more Spider-Man. I think that they're going to kind of clear a path for him coming out of Endgame so that people do show up and are still excited. And as long as Endgame delivers and people are satisfied, they're going to be excited for more. So I don't really see it happening this year, but it is a worthwhile question to ask just the when of it all. Like, you know, we're still going to have that enthusiasm, and we may not realize we've lost the enthusiasm until a little bit later. You know what I mean? Like the effect may trail the reality of it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I think that's why they're playing this so smart with their characters and with this version of the Marvel Universe. They started this story with one set of characters, and they've allowed them to have their story told fully and completely so that you feel like you've really gotten a lot of time with them. But all the while, they've been introducing new characters kind of in the background or in the ancillary sides of things and letting them quietly build up so that you can have a whole new set of characters to have a completely different looking MCU post something like this, post Endgame, where those older characters are allowed to either pass away or ride off in the sunset, whatever their ending may be, and yet you're still left with characters that people really want to see, like Black Panther, huge hit, billion-dollar film. People are – the sequel for that in high demand. Spider-Man, again, Captain Marvel, also billion-dollar hit. The want for those characters is still very much there for individual solo movies. Now, they may take a break from doing like a big team-up movie. You may see – it may be a little while before we get another like full-on Avengers film, but – the MCU, as it will stand at the end of Endgame, will continue. It'll just look probably very different. And I love the way that they've played this. They've allowed their characters to age and to change and for their universe to do the same. And that's something that I would say the comics world could really take a page from every once in a while. That would be great.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then about another discussion there. Wow.
Yeah. And you also look, we don't know what the next MCU movie is. You know, there's no real superhero movie outside. I mean, if New Mutants even comes out, and plus, and then you have Dark Phoenix that is in June. I mean, there's no real superhero movies on the slate. So I think the curiosity factor will be there also. It's like, okay, Endgame is over. Now, where are we going next? And people are going to be curious about it. And, you know, and it, like we've said, though, it's got nothing major. I mean, the Toy Story 4 comes out June 21st. And then you have some releases that are not major releases. They'll do well, the few movies in between. But then, you know, Spider-Man Far From Home, and then Lion King comes out 2 weeks later. So it's got a nice buffer on both sides where there's going to be, you know, people are going to be like, what are we going to see this weekend? Oh, and this is one of those movies that, you know, you look at and you're like, oh, let's look at, you know, Yesterday or Rocket Man or something like that. You're like, okay, I want to see that, but do I have to see in the theater? Maybe not. But like a big budget superhero tentpole movie, that's a different experience. You know, some of these movies you have to see in the theater in order to get the full scope and effect, and that's really how they're meant to be viewed anyway. So I think the superhero fatigue may come, but I don't think it's coming yet.
Well, and you know they've asked themselves that. You know that when Marvel has sat down and been like, when does this bubble burst for us? When is this over and we have to start looking at other things? So I buy your question that you ask about why not later in November, and that my thought process, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, is ride the high, because you don't know when that bubble will pop. You don't know that hypothetical. We keep using that phrase, but, you know, we don't know when that will end. So ride the high in a weekend where nothing
else is
there.
That's kind of my take, too. Yeah, ride it while it's hot.
Mm-hmm. That's something I wanted to throw out there. It was good answers, guys. I like that.
So
I would think about it.
So the next movie we're going to talk about is Aladdin. Now that now Jenny had it at number 4. Tim had it at 7. I had it as well as Russell and Scott had it at number 8. And Miranda actually did not have it on her list. So
wow. Yeah,
that's kind of the one you're going to talk about it.
Yeah, I know. So this is directed by Guy Ritchie. Now, people have said, you know, Aladdin, you know, that was really where my love of I loved Disney as a kid, but seeing the animated Aladdin back in 1992, I believe it was, that just I was Robin Williams, and people are always saying like, oh, you can't do Robin Williams again. Well, you know, I don't think Will Smith is doing Robin Williams. I think Will Smith is going to do his own take on the genie. People don't exactly like some of the look of the genie, which because he's blue in some of the scenes, but you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to go see it because, you know, I just love the story of Aladdin, you know, the story made a carpet interesting, for crying out loud.
Right.
So, so Miranda, why don't you talk about Aladdin since you omitted it from your list?
Okay. The reason I omitted it is because, well, I think it will do well because of the slate of movies it is up against. I don't think it's going to be in top 10. I don't think it's going to bomb because there are people that are going to go watch it that have clearly voiced their hate, but they're going to do like Jenny does and they're going to hate watch it.
It still counts at the box office.
No, Jenny hates watch things. So, well, no, there are people that box office hate watch things. They like go with their friends because, like, well, I guess I, you know, what else am I gonna do?
The money's all the same, baby.
Right?
Green is green.
They make their numbers, you know, whether it's hate watch or love watch. So,
I you know, and the fact
it is
that.
The Guy Ritchie. So,
sorry, I just listened to Jenny say that, and I was like, can you do that in Dusty voice?
I don't have a good Dusty voice.
You were close just now.
You were.
My voice is shot anyway.
Green is green,
I sound like Elizabeth, whatever the fuck?
The money spent the thing, baby.
Green is green.
Oh my god.
Green scented.
But I think there's a lot of like curiosity watching as well with this movie because people want to see what the fuck with the Will Smith and
right.
You know, another great villain too.
Yeah.
And Jafar. And I think that a lot of, like Andy said, this was one of their first love Disney movies. So there's also that just real hook, wanting to see the real life version of it because you've seen this movie so many times as a kid. You have everything memorized. And like for me, I'm kind of curious whether they're going to go like shot for shot like the animated because I could kind of dig that.
They're not.
If they're not? Okay. Well, no. That would be cool if they were, but I'm sure that there will be lots of, you know, homages or whatever to the original as far as that goes. But, you know, the dance numbers, I think, is interesting in that, too. Mm-hmm. The whole big, like, the market scene and stuff like that when he's running around singing. So mm-hmm. I'm just really curious about it. And I do think the hate watching is a real thing.
It is. Well, my understanding is kind of like they did with Beauty and the Beast, where it was, somewhat shot for shot, wouldn't you say, Jenny, in parts?
Yeah, yeah.
They created, like, new characters and new things to it, but didn't take away from the overall original story. Right. And based on the cast list for Aladdin, there are new characters that actually play a part in it, so I am going to assume and guess that they're treating this kind of like they did Beauty and the Beast. Therefore, I am very interested in watching it. I told my son it was coming out, and for a second he got really excited, and then I showed him the genie, and he almost cussed. He was like, what is that? So he wants to watch it, but he's like, no, that's not right. That's not right. So we'll see, because there's a lot of people that feel that way. But Will Smith, I wish I'd found the quote before we did this, but he actually, there's some quote by him where he said, you know, I'm not Robin Williams. I'm sorry I'm not Robin Williams, but I hope that I can give him what he would have loved to have seen, you know, happen, like what he would have, you know, hoped for.
Yeah, and I think it'll do well internationally. I mean, I know that's not part of our contest, but you know, this has quite the appeal worldwide. So anybody else have any thoughts on Aladdin before we...
Why does it have an appeal worldwide?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I mean, the settings, the casting, you know?
See, the Beauty and the Beast example I don't think totally flies here, only because Beauty and the Beast didn't have, if I remember correctly, I don't know who was the voice of Beauty. I don't remember the character's name. I'm blanking. And who, like, was there memorable voices in that, like, in the animated in 90 whatever?
In
like,
the, was there the original? Like, yeah, there yeah. was Angela Lansbury, yeah. David Ogden Stiers, okay. Jerry Orbach.
Okay, but yeah, none of those are Robin Williams, though. Okay,
no,
I just want to
no.
make sure there was somebody legendary.
Well,
my
no.
point is,
no, but
my point is, though, this is even a worse example than Lion King. Or actually, I should say better example, depending on your point of view. It's going to make money. That's why I did at least put it eighth, because it will make curiosity money or hate money, because I love that term, Jenny, because I'm all in favor of hate money.
It's but, related to fuck money, but just different.
But it's all the same. The yeah. green's dirty either way.
Right.
Dirty green is good.
Dirty green,
but,
baby.
But dirty green, baby. The green fended. But this is bullshit. There's no need. There's only one Robin Williams. End of story. There's really no reason. There's no new generation that needs to see a new Aladdin. That's just fucking dumb. End of story. There's only one Robin Williams, and that's it. We don't need real life people to make that better.
It's another just because they can, basically.
I just think that we talk about the buzz that's around The Lion King. I think this kind of has anti-buzz
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, where I agree.
It's just not really. I mean, I still have it as my number seven. I just. Look at it, and I think, I'm sort of here for the memes, maybe, and that's about it.
People are going to go
clowning on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, all of the Will Smith stuff on Twitter, they're just clowning on this movie that people still are going to show off, but it's not going to, I just don't see it cracking the top five, really.
No, I put it eight because it is a Disney movie, but I think this is a dark horse for a bomb.
Mm. Wow.
It could absolutely be that.
That would be an embarrassment.
It would, but it certainly wouldn't stop the live action remakes. I just think that they would rethink it. And I think that mostly if it doesn't do well, I think you can almost firmly lay it at the feet of Guy Ritchie, because he's really not been that great a director in the last several years. His last few outings just haven't hit. They haven't been that good.
What was his very last one, Russell?
I'm hard pressed to pull that.
I know it was 10 years ago, but I actually just watched the first Sherlock Holmes the other night for the first time, and I liked it.
They're good. No, they're really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen a game of Shadows. I own it, but I have not seen a Game of Shadows yet. But did he do that one too?
Yes.
He did.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Let me check his.
Would the last one be Arthur? Or no, has he done something since then?
That was another one that shouldn't have been remade. Let's see.
Shut up, I love that movie.
Oh, the original's 10 times better. He did, all right, Sherlock, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword was the last one he did.
Oof.
Shut up.
Sorry,
Miranda. He redid the man, another remake, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Fucking A.
I didn't know that.
Their own goddamn movie? Jesus Christ.
I'll give him credit for Man from U.N.C.L.E. That was actually a fairly entertaining movie, mostly on the strength of the two leads, who had great chemistry with each other.
Snatch. That was good.
Yeah, and that was a good while back. Last Snatch, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels. You know, when he's doing British style movies.
Yes, exactly. British style.
He's great at it. He is one of the all time best. I mean, Guy Ritchie kind of gave us Jason Statham.
Yeah.
For better or worse. And when it comes to this, though, I don't know that he was the right choice for director, but I want this to do well. I want this to be a good movie. I'm not at all one of those folks that's like rooting for this to just like bomb and fail. The trailers haven't really felt all that inspired to me. They're kind of the complete opposite of the Lion King trailers, which have like gotten me hyped. The Aladdin trailers, I keep waiting for something to really pop me and to like to get me excited about seeing it. But so far I've just been like, eh. And it kind of feels like it's going to be the tale of, you know, the two Disney live action remakes. Is this going to be more Jungle Book or is this going to be Dumbo? And I think this is going to be Dumbo.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to stop. I mean, I think Little Mermaid is in development right now.
It is.
But they also have, they're going to keep doing it. And we may not see all of them theatrically. I mean, I know they have a Lady and the Tramp for Disney Plus in the works also. And then I believe. And also, we could see offshoots.
Which is actually legit live action in that case.
Yeah.
And we have other, like, offshoots. How we had, what the hell is her name from Sleeping Beauty? Maleficent. And they're working on a sequel for that.
That is good.
And also, Emma Stone is set to play Cruella de Vil in a prequel.
Actually. I'm excited for that.
So
they're gonna keep working their IPs. There's no stopping it.
Yeah. You can't stop them.
Will there be a live-action Fantasia with Jenny's WrestleMania rat and a robot chicken mouth? Is that what
we're if you could see the face I was making right now. Jesus Christ.
Just wait. We're going to come full circle, and there's going to be a live-action Toy Story remake at some point.
Stop. Leave Toy Story and the Frozen out of this. Entangled. Off limits. Off limits.
Don't tell me. Go tell Disney. Go blow up their phones and say, don't touch your own IP, Disney.
30-something-year-old screaming blonde lady? Probably not.
Live action Tangled. I actually could see that one couple of years.
Only if the people that did the voice do the live action.
So we're going to move on from the mouse. Amazingly, the first five movies are all Disney, under Disney. So we're going to talk about Detective Pikachu. Okay, so for this movie.
Sleeper hit.
Yes, this movie was kind of a little all over the place. I mean, in the general area. So I had it with Mr. Sellers. We both had number 5. Jenny, Tim, and Miranda have it number 6. And Mr. Criscolo, you have it as your bomb. Yep. You think it's, our first bomb of the night here. So,
were you, like, really angry when you made this list, Scott?
If I did, I would have had... If I did, it would have been no Disney. No, I'm only kidding.
That's what it sounds like.
Do you want me to go first, Andy? I can, if you like.
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
You want to do the happy comments first, and then the...
No, you could be the...
at the end.
You could be, get off my lawn,
Yeah, exactly. A shotgun to Pikachu's head. No, I'm sorry. I just think this movie is made in the wrong era. Pokemon's just not... Like, the app is one thing, the stupid game, but I worked in a comic store from 99 to 2003 when Pokemon was actually hot. This movie would have been great, like, 15 years ago. No one fucking cares now. That's just my opinion.
I don't know.
No,
yeah,
I don't
think. Yeah, I don't know about that, buddy.
Nope.
Yeah, both my kids still play Pokemon on their DSs. They have... You know, Pokemon also is present in other games like Super Smash Bros. And everything. So it's everywhere. You may not realize it, but it's fucking everywhere.
Not good enough. It's not like it was when the cars were being sold. No way. They were making a killing back then and had this movie. Plus, the fucking thing talks. It actually has a voice like Roger fucking Rabbit.
It's Ryan Reynolds' fucking voice. That's how you get the people is Ryan Reynolds. He's amazing.
It seems like Ryan Reynolds and Patton Oswalt are voicing everything these days.
I got to put it to you this way. Nah. I couldn't give a flying fuck about Pokemon. I never have. I never will. I watched the trailers for this movie, and I was like, when can I buy my ticket?
Right.
Yeah, the trailer sold me.
That's my point. But this got people who don't care about Pokemon to actually say, I want to go see that. That looks hilarious. Looks like it is firmly tongue-in-cheek comedy. Ryan Reynolds does that better than almost anyone on the planet. Sign me the fuck up. This is going to make plenty of money. No doubt in my mind.
Nope. I admittedly didn't quite know what to do with this one. Only because I would also not really believe there's still a huge market for Pokemon today, but the parents that I know tell me that there is, and if that is true, then I know, you know, the kid money is there. Like,
it just
that
transitioned into online gaming.
It just felt like a safe bet to have it at I had it at, I believe, number 6, and... Yeah, firmly not for me, but apparently there's an audience, even if I'm kind of oblivious to that, which I would definitely say I am. It's apparently it's going to do something. I'm with you just in terms of the skepticism, but kids are eating this shit up still. So yep.
It's you did say a big pile of something, and then you said shit. So even though you had plenty of words in between, you're saying the same thing I am. It's not going to happen.
All right, Miranda, defend the movie.
Okay, so here's the thing. It's got a 5/10 release, which means we're hitting right about the time that most schools are starting to let out.
Mm.
There's that. So there's something for the parents to be like, what the hell am I going to do with my kid? You know, I got this half day. Take him to Pokemon. 2, Ryan Reynolds, enough said. 3, and honestly, I did. I asked my son. He saw the preview, and his eyes got, like, huge, and he looked at me, and he was like, I want to go. So, I mean, and you can ask Jenny, like, when our boys are together, like, they play, like, a crap ton of stuff, but Pokemon is always jumbled in there at some point through their night or their weekend. So it's definitely... I get what you're saying about the cards in the 90s. Don't get me wrong. But, like, these kids are still buying the cards. They're still buying the mangas and the comics and, you know, the little characters to put on their shelves. And, like you said, he's not just in his own games. He's in other games. So there is a whole group of people that still are, like, worshiping the Pokemon Trail, just in a different manner.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know these Pokemon unless my kids got me into Pokemon Go last year. Now, Jurassic World came out. That was it. That online game, the app, got me addicted to that one instead. But, yeah, it's one of those things, like, you just you don't believe it but it's real.
But it's there.
It's there. It's like, how the fuck is this thing still a thing? And it's an amazing, huge thing. Jenny, what else do you have to say about this?
I think you guys have said it all. Can't beat that. Can't beat that meat.
Yeah, but you can try.
You can't beat that meat, baby. All right. All right. So, closing out our first our block here tonight is we're going to go with Hobbs and Shaw, the spinoff. Actually, it's the Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. Let's see. Tim had this at number 5. Myself, I had it at number 6. Russell has it at number 7. Scott, Jenny, and Miranda did not have it on their list. So, let's start with you, Jenny, why did you leave off Hobbs and Shaw?
Like you don't already know the answer to this question.
Really?
Because you don't want it to do well.
Because all of this negative,
self-troll.
All of this negative energy I'm projecting.
I love when everyone does this. Everyone has their one movie that they do this to. At least one movie.
I mean, I'm sure it's whatever. I give 2 fucks about Fast and the Furious. I don't give a fuck about The Rock. I don't care.
Don't give a fuck or just actively hate.
Yes.
It's like, hate and fuck money, fucking hate money.
But not
she will not even hate watch this one.
No. I barely suffered through Jumanji, and I did that for the love of my son. But good God. No. Why? I don't get it. I will never.
No, you made it through Jumanji is what I'm saying. Like, you made it.
I've come around a bit on The Rock as a wrestler, but the movies, I can't do it, won't do it.
No, like, guys, seriously, like, when he first made his appearance on the screen in Jumanji, I looked at her and I went, and she goes, shh. He wouldn't even like.
He got shushed.
Josh.
All right. I know, whatever, Jenny sucks and she has horrible takes.
Have we met? Come on.
So anyway, y'all go suck rock stick and stuff, so great.
Wow.
I'll cut the line to do that.
Tim first.
Wow.
I do think perhaps I have it a little bit high as my number 5. If I had a do-over. If I have a do-over, I might flip it.
The betrayal in Jenny's voice now was truly something.
I might flip this with Pokemon Detective Pikachu. Like, I don't think it's extraordinarily high on my list, but it's maybe a little too far up there because, and I'll tell you why, I'm overestimating how well, like, that Fast series performs internationally, which it, I mean, makes tons of money overseas, that franchise. But looking at just the domestic gross on that film series, it's not, I mean, it's healthy, don't get me wrong. It's like in the 200s, but, it's not what I thought it was, like, on my initial assessment here. And with this being a spinoff, I don't know that it necessarily makes the money as one of the core installments of, you know, the main franchise. But, you know, you do have, I'm sorry, I have to say, you know, The Rock, which he's a popular character from that series, and you've also got really 2 popular characters from the main series that have their following, and anytime you have a built-in audience like that, I just think we're looking at a minimum $200 million on this. And is that enough for a top 5 performance? Again, I might, if I had a do-over, rethink this one, but I don't think I'm off by that much.
I don't think you are either. And this is coming from somebody who has no time or love for the Fast and Furious franchise.
I don't give one sliver of a fuck about the franchise.
Yeah, I'm not either. But whenever I watched the trailers for Hobbs and Shaw, I was like, this is all sorts of 80s action movie cheese that I have got a real, like, soft spot for, or hard spot, depending on how you want to look at it. And, and I was like, you know what? This has got my money. I am definitely going to go see this. And speaking of the series, though, like the Fast and Furious series, Fate of the Furious, the last movie in the franchise, it made $226 million domestically, but internationally, it made over $1 billion international money alone. And then you couple that with its domestic take, you're looking at $1.2 billion for this, for that movie. And it wasn't even like really that well reviewed, honestly. So, if that movie has like that, if it's going to perform like that internationally, I think you can expect Hobbs and Shaw to do very similar in those terms. So, yeah, is it going to be like at the top of the box office? Maybe not, but it's going to land somewhere in that middle pack. So I felt pretty comfortable putting it at 7.
Yeah, there's no big action movies around. What? Go ahead, Miranda.
No, I was just asking him, is he saying he would for sure see it in the theater?
Yes.
Oh, I'm gonna say I will apologize for that franchise. Once it got to like 4 or 5, I bought in. I just said, I go into the movie theater. I'm like, okay, laws of physics don't exist. So turn your brain off. Don't think about it. Just enjoy the show. And that's kind of like how I feel about it.
So I think it's really Vin Diesel that I just have no time for. But when it comes to The Rock and Jason Statham, I have all the time in the world. Entertain me, gentlemen, and you two are hilarious together.
Plus, Roman Reigns.
Let me ask you: would the actual series have continued if What's His Face didn't die? What's his name?
Paul
Walker. Died with it. Would this just have been Fast and the Furious like 12 or whatever the fuck they're up to? 9, 8, whatever that would have.
The spinoff has been planned as far back as 6, I think. So this was always like the direction that they intended to go. So I think spinoffs were inevitable.
I'm just curious.
As far as Paul Walker's death, I mean, there is something to the idea that maybe that fueled the 7th movie onto like just the powerhouse that it was at the box office, because honestly, the movie is not very good at all. But
I'm just curious.
What I saw of 8 was even worse. So,
yeah, not Scott Eastwood was not good.
Yeah, no. And in all fairness, no one was good in Fast 8. It's a garbage movie, but The Rock and Jason Statham have just incredible chemistry together, and those action scenes look like fun. So if I'm going just for pure spectacle, Hobbs and Shaw is going to be fine.
Yeah, I just think about it like, you know, mindless fun. That's all. Just enjoy the action set pieces, and that's it, you know. You're not going to come out of there like, oh, that was a great plot. That was that character arc of Deckard Shaw. Oh, my God. You know that performance by Roman Reigns. Come on.
Yes. We'll say no one ever.
Yes. So, all right, cool. So we're going to take a break for a minute here. And we got some more movies to cover. But, we'll give everybody a pause and talk about what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. So, stick around. We got Russell, we got Scott, we got Tim, Miranda, Jenny, and myself, Andy. We'll be right back after this.
Consideration paid for by the following. Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceMation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placemation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at Bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceMation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to the big summer movie preview, summer movie wager episode number 4 of Looking Forward, Looking Back. I am Andy Atherton, and I'm here with Scott Criscolo, Russell Sellers, Miranda Berthold, Jenny Smith, and Tim Capel. And we want to let you guys know, before we get back to the movies, what's going on here at the Place of the Nation Pop Feed. Busy week, still something for everybody. Russell, you and Sam dished about the classic Empire Records in your new episode of 90s to Nothing.
Dead, dished, shit on, whichever one you want to pick.
All right. This month's Talking Pop, Jenny and Tim, you guys welcome Justin Rosero, JT, to relive the magic of WrestleMania weekend in New York City.
I like how you covered your bases there, calling them Justin and JT. He's very sensitive about that.
Well, Scott called him JR, you know, you never know. Just, you know.
Yeah, he's all kinds of names.
Don't call him late for dinner. Hey. Anyway, Russell, you're also busy. You had Mr. Ben Morris, and you talked the first half of 1970 in the new Marvel Age Masterclass.
Yeah, it's always fun to talk with Ben a little bit more in-depth about all the stuff we talk about first on the main Marvel Age show. But both shows got something to offer, and it's fun to do a deep dive with someone who used to work for Marvel Comics and has some real insights that, you know, the rest of us may not have.
All right. Adam and Andrew delivered in-depth playoff previews on a dual offering of the NBA team podcast. Tim, you and the manager, Todd Weber, you took a look at the Uncanny X-Men number 136, plus more in the latest episode of Conversation Comics.
That's right. Just one episode removed from the conclusion to the epic Dark Phoenix saga in Uncanny X-Men. Classic comic book run, classic comics we're looking at. I'm really, really excited, and it's awesome to get back to that series with Todd, the manager, now owner. So, yeah, we should be doing another one of those pretty soon.
All right, cool. The Hard Traveling Fanboys recently did a review of the theatrical release Shazam in their latest offering. The Cowboy, Roger Morissette, and Jad, John Arsenio D'Amato, were back in the saddle with a new This Week in Sports, and they caught up on everything since the Super Bowl. The manager, Todd Weber, welcomed JT to Binge Please as they talked to Netflix Marvel Universe and Daredevil Season 1. Also, Todd joined me on Episode 3 of Laugh-In Theater with Swingers. And Tim, you joined me on Episode 4. We talked Ghostbusters.
Yes, we did.
A lot of fun episode.
I yelled at the podcast a lot.
I knew you would.
I did.
Well, you know, Russell, you're actually going to be on the next episode of Laughing Theater, actually.
Yes.
We're actually going to be doing the newest, the most recent movie I've done to date on that. I don't know if we should let everybody in on the secret or not, but...
Let them be surprised.
Let them be surprised, but it's one of my favorite comedies over the last, I don't know, what, 10, 15 years, I think it's come out, right? Would you say?
Yeah, it was a 2008 movie.
All right, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Looking forward to sitting down, talking to you, and watching that flick with you. And also, I want to give a big shout out to everybody for all the support, all the votes. The PTBN Greatest Candy Tournament was a great success. Hope everybody had a lot of fun. And we all knew Reese's Peanut Butter Cups was going to win. We only had a handful of surprises. You know, Dots went on a little bit of a Cinderella run there.
Kit Kat
upset Snickers.
Boo.
I know. I'm waiting for Jenny,
too.
That was
the correct choice.
But, yeah, that was the only real number one that didn't make it to the Final Four. So stay tuned. We're actually going to revamp the Facebook page for the Candy Tournament, and it's going to become the PTBN Tournament page because we plan to do about four tournaments a year. And the next one's coming very soon, probably around Memorial Day, June 1st, and it's going to run the whole summer. It's going to be music-related and a reboot, so to speak, of a past tournament that kind of got
had some hard.
We kind of had some bot issues, I guess you want to say. It was off to a great start and then kind of fizzled out for reasons beyond our control. But we seem to like this Facebook format, so stay tuned. Like the Facebook page, and you'll be hearing more about this tournament in the days and weeks to come. Also, we also have the wrestling feed over there where, Scott, you live over there for the most part. We got Place to Be Podcast. We got Main Event. We got all the other shows that Justin hosts, all 18 of them, plus new shows debuting all the time. So check it out. Place to Be Nation, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hold up.
Okay.
What was not on that list, sir?
I'm given the live read. That has there been a new episode of Geek and Sassy lately?
For shame!
The Sassys came out like months ago, right?
Yes. That doesn't mean that we can't talk about it, and we can't talk about what's coming up.
All right. What? Well,
God, you got both of us here.
We do that at the end of the show. We do the vlogs.
You still forgot about us.
I love going to my office with my cigar and scotch. Andy, this is all you. Bye.
Well, Miranda, what's going on in Geek Scott? And Sassy Land?
I'll join you, Scott.
There's did not write this. Just can bring.
Did not write this. All right, back to the trivia. Let's change the story before Andy goes hiding under the bed with the dog.
My dog's on vacation, actually.
Yeah, just like you were.
Show, isn't it?
You're about to go on vacation.
In my apartment that looks like Beirut because I'm half in packing mode.
All right. So, guys, we've been talking about the MCU for this first segment. I was just looking at some research. We were talking about movies. Can anybody tell me which MCU movie has the highest Rotten Tomatoes rating and which two – there's a tie – which two MCU movies are tied for the lowest? Russell.
Iron Man is
the highest.
Iron Man is the highest. I think the lowest is going to be Thor the Dark World and The Incredible Hulk.
All right. You are correct on Thor the Dark World and Incredible Hulk. They only got 67%. Iron Man, the first one, is number two at 93%. Miranda.
Number one out of every single one of them?
Yep.
One of the Guardians.
No. Guardians 2 got 84%. Guardians 1 got 91%. The highest is 97. Jenny.
Isn't it something dumb like Doctor Strange?
Wow.
It's not one, but it is way too high.
Doctor Strange is number nine at 89%.
Okay.
Yeah, that's still too high.
I know what it is.
Tim?
It's Black Panther, but it's not Iron Man.
Black Panther, 97.
That would be my next guess.
Black Panther, 97. Yep.
Iron Man for a long time, though.
Yep. Iron Man, 93. Then Ragnarok and Homecoming tied. I'm sorry, three-way tie. Ragnarok, Homecoming, and the first Avengers at 92. Civil War was 91. Guardians, 91. And Winter Soldier, 90. And then the rest of them. And Dark World and Incredible Hulk are tied at the bottom at 67.
Which I watched both last night. No, I didn't watch Hulk last night. I take that back.
I was going to say, you would have watched – you're doing the MCU Supercut too, right? So, yes. Yeah, you would have seen Incredible Hulk a while back. Oof. It sucks. No way around it.
Yeah, a little rough going there.
Talking about quickly, I guess I'm looking at the wiki, and after Far From Home, I guess Phase 4, there's a movie called Shang-Chi that's in discussion.
Oh, that's right.
Which I mentioned three times on the show, but that's okay.
You have.
What's yesterday about again? It's about a bird that's in.
Poor Jenny, I don't know that I lose her voice.
It's about a chicken that sings "Let It Be."
Oh my god,
that was like Todd Weber level, like passive aggression.
Oh my god!
All right, Mr. Atherton, the floor. Thank you. You still there? Or did you run out of the? Did you run out in the street?
We still love him and need him.
That'd be a hell of a thing if you rage quit your own show.
Place to be nation, your only place to be in your pop culture world.
We're all being unfriended.
All right. Yeah, Reese will have none of us.
Reese only got rid of me and Miranda.
Corner.
Probably me now.
Miranda, the dark world. All right, Mr.
Oh, I'd love to see a dark Miranda movie.
What the fuck does that mean?
She's so light and bubbly.
Sounds like the sequel to Detective Pikachu.
Ryan Reynolds as Miranda.
Yep.
Oh my god.
Wait, the Phoenix is a bird, so we got another bird movie. We have Phoenix.
Yeah.
Oh god, I can't breathe.
Okay. Back to the movies. So our next movie is Godzilla, King of Monsters. This was around the middle area on most of our list. Scott, you had it highest at number 5. Russell had number 6. I had it at number 7. And Jenny and Tim, you had number 8, and another omission by Miranda. So Jenny, talk about Godzilla.
It was a while ago, but I had the debate about which monster was better, King Kong or Godzilla. Mm-hmm. And I feel like person I was debating with, because I was going for King Kong, right? And so the person I was debating with kind of talked me into Godzilla by the end of the conversation. So for me, this movie is like going to be definitive whether I like Godzilla or King Kong better. So that has nothing to do with any of the movie money, but that's how I do things.
I want to hear more about this debate.
Oh, I love her.
Who was this debate with?
This was with my friend James Eccles, and a dude who loves movies and monster horror flicks and everything like that. So he has some very good points about the Godzilla. He does. So shout out James. And I don't know, what do you guys think, King Kong or Godzilla?
Godzilla.
I'm kind of leaning Godzilla on this one.
I mean, Godzilla is a cooler monster, but I think King Kong has had the better movies.
That's my point as well.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the era. With that. I have to say it depends on the era. Like the original Shohei, you know, like the Godzillas in the 60s and 70s era were so fucking good. And the King Kong remakes, not counting Skull Island, because Skull Island kicked ass. But
yeah, it did.
Like the 19, like the Peter Jackson King Kong, I mean, I own it. I mean, it's okay.
Way too fucking long, though.
Yeah, but it was really long. The 80s one, the one with Jessica Lange, I really like that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay with that one, yeah.
Yeah, that one's good. It's hard to say. If we're talking about the current verse, I'm pumped for this one because
it's leading into the King Kong versus Godzilla.
Exactly. Movie. So Jenny, the cinema will be your answer. I remember seeing the first Godzilla and I thought it was all right. I mean, it wasn't the shitty 98 Godzilla, which only was good because, you know, Puff Daddy sampled cashmere. It was probably the highlight of the fucking movie.
But they waited too fucking long to show you Godzilla. That was the big problem.
Yeah, and he didn't even look like Godzilla. It looked like a giant, like, Ricky Steamboat's Komodo dragon. Like, it didn't even look like a guy. It didn't look like fucking Godzilla. Godzilla's gray, not green. And this first Godzilla was not terrible. It was okay. I loved, maybe because the cast was great too, but I loved Kong Skull Island. Kong Skull Island was awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It was fantastic. Yeah,
really liked that one.
Yeah, and I have a feeling that this is going to be really, really good too. And again, I think it goes back to the kind of the theme of my comments tonight, and I'm curious your guys' thoughts too. that I think people are ready to look to watch something different. Like,
yeah,
I'm not anti-Marvel, and I know I'm sounding like this, and I'm really not. I'm pumped for Endgame. All I'm saying is, all right, the story's over, and now people are ready to like kind of go on to something else while Marvel gets ready for the next thing. And I think this will be a benefit of that.
Me
that
too.
Okay, good. Endgame's done. All right, Spider-Man's coming. That's nice, but I'm ready for something different. Fuck, man, Godzilla, let's do it. Like, I think people are ready for to kind of jump into something else once Endgame is finished. And I think Godzilla cinematically will be and fiscally will be the wealthy recipient of that.
Yeah, I think also the other introduction of the other monsters, you know, you saw that tease at the end of Kong Skull Island, you knew like this is what was coming next. I mean, people love them shared universes. I'm telling you. I mean, you can't.
Oh, for sure. What's the rating on this one, guys?
The
Godzilla. X.
Godzilla X. X.
Poor lizards.
Monsters inside me.
Well, I mean, if you want that, I can give you books that will give you that. But I'm just saying.
It's
anyway.
It's a rating. Doesn't say what rating it is. I gotta look. I'm guessing it's PG-13.
Gotta be right.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's not R.
He's like hands down Godzilla. Like he'd look at Jenny and like Godzilla. No, you're wrong. Godzilla always. So I just was curious if it was a PG-13. I mean, I don't see us getting an R Godzilla.
No.
No, it can't be worse than PG-13.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Kong Skull Island, I think, may have been PG-13, and that was okay from my younger child. I mean, he was.
I'm cool with PG-13. Mine's almost 13. So.
Yeah. Looking on the IMDb, it is PG-13.
Okay.
So.
Wow, yeah. And how about this? It'll be the 35th Godzilla movie ever made.
Wow!
Oh, wow!
He's 35th in the entire franchise, going back to. When the fuck was the first one? 52?
I don't know what 50 shit is, but okay.
Well, it's a big shit. It's Godzilla.
We need the supercut of all of the Godzilla films.
Oh my god. Yes.
We gonna sit and live watch them all, guys?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm down. Well, maybe.
I don't know if I'm just right.
Yeah, I think Godzilla, I mean, talk about a strong just piece of IP, right? I mean, that with that kind of track record and that many films in the series, got that built-in audience. Again, I keep going back to Venom in September last year, 200 million. What? So Godzilla, I see it doing pretty well. It's got a lot going for it, but I do still think it has a ceiling, and that's why I had it at my number 8. I also kind of, in the back of my mind, just think it's not going to be that good, and while quality doesn't necessarily count for a lot with a summer blockbuster, it just seems like that's what's going to limit how well its natural place is. So unless it gets really, really good word of mouth, I think it's just going to stall at that, like, kind of upper 190s, maybe, and that could be optimistic even.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the schedule. It comes out a week after Aladdin, and there's no real – I mean, if you want to consider Dark Phoenix something maybe competitive to it, I mean, Rocketman and Longshot, those aren't really – going to be the same audience, and Secret Life of Pets 2 probably isn't the same audience. So, I mean, the next thing could be Dark Phoenix or Shaft.
Okay. Yeah, it'll hang in there until Dark Phoenix at least. I figure, God, unless Dark Phoenix does really bad, it's
fingers crossed.
Take the well, I think it's worth at least its opening weekend, but beyond that, it's certainly pushing it.
All right, cool. So we're going to move on to Men in Black International. Miranda, you had that at number 7. Myself and Russell had number 9. Tim had at number 10. Jenny has it as a wild card. And Scott does not have it on his list. So, Miranda, are you looking forward to Men in Black International?
I am. I have huge reservations I think I say that all the time when somebody puts something new in a area that I really love. The Men in Black franchise is one of my favorite all-time movie franchises, which may seem odd and is not usually what you hear from most people. But it's one of my all-time favorites. I have a problem with the title that I was going to get into like on your show later.
Yeah.
Well, they're Men in Black, and this has been proven through the other ones already that this is a whole intergalactic thing.
Mm-hmm.
So international seems like a really dumb. Yeah, sorry.
Men in Black, X.
Yes.
Hey, Men in Sweatpants,
XXX.
Men in Black, Far From Home.
There we are.
Men in Black, Endgame.
Men in Black, Sweatpants. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's like one of those things, though. Do people get sick of pairings in different, same pairings? Like, it's Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth, you know, who had the great banter from Ragnarok, but you know, how are they?
It's a movie where you need banter, though. You need that ebb and flow of that.
But you got to make it different because it's a different, you know, cinematic universe.
I am excited
about Emma Thompson being the Zed, I guess, of the British chapter of Men in Black. I haven't really seen many trailers yet. I mean, I think I've seen the one, so we have no idea kind of like who the villain is yet in this.
Yeah, and I want to know, like, are the bugs back? Where's the dog? Like, you know, I need these are questions that are valid. Yeah, laugh. You guys can laugh. But, like, I need to know, like.
This is what keeps Miranda up at night.
Right. Are the roaches there? Where's the pug? Like,
who's going to wear the Edgar suit? Who's going to wear the Edgar suit?
Yes. Who gets to use the noisy cricket? I need to know all of these things.
Maybe Will Smith should have done this instead of sucking at Aladdin, and then maybe everything would be fine.
No, he. Mm-mm. We're good. Like, don't get me wrong. Men in Black is my favorite, one of my favorites. But, like, they ended it. He's good. He's done.
You know who the original choice was for Men in Black, actually? Not Will Smith. It was David Schwimmer. Yeah, that would have been rough.
Glad that didn't happen.
No,
well, it wouldn't have been one of my favorite franchises if that had. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I just don't think he can pull it off the way that.
No.
No.
All right.
Men in Black 3, or MIB3 as it's listed, kind of didn't do as well as I would have thought. Just under 180 million domestic, and that was in 2012.
Well, even I didn't get to, I didn't even watch it in the theater because of like when it came out, just didn't happen for me.
I mean, Men in Black 2 wasn't really all that well received by audiences much when it came out. So MIB3 really
was actually kind of good.
3 was fine. Like,
it had a better villain.
So honestly, 2. Yes. Two ages better than I think people realize, but at the time it was not nearly the follow up that people wanted. MIB3 kind of suffered as a result. Mm-hmm. But as far as this new one, I really love Hemsworth and Thompson together. And the only trailer we've gotten so far for this movie, Honestly, it looked better than I thought that it was going to. Still waiting on a second one to give me a little bit more meat to see where it's going to land. But I think on the strength of that pairing, you may have something here. And it was called out earlier, Emma Thompson being kind of the lead role or like the head of the organization where they are. I think this has all the potential in the world to maybe revitalize and bring a seemingly dead franchise back to life. The question around it, of course, is do audiences really care? Will they want to see it? But I think if the movie is good enough, if you've got like positive word of mouth and strong critical reviews, yeah, you could see a nice, maybe not like huge hit, but something that could conceivably crack into the top 10, like near the bottom where I had it placed, and that was my reasoning for it. It's not got a bad placement on the schedule. Maybe not the best either, mm-hmm. but there is a nice like small cushion on either side of it. I actually don't think this movie is going to debut at number one when it comes out. I think it debuts at number two because it's only like real competition the same week is like the new Shaft movie that's coming out. Secret Life of Pets, like a week before that, along with Dark Phoenix, which will probably be the number one debut at that point. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think if the reviews and like word of mouth are strong enough for that, it could hold on to the number one spot. But I think it debuts there. Men in Black International, it'll have about a week to get somewhere, but it's the following week. It's going to get decimated along with everything else when Toy Story 4 drops.
Yeah.
I mean, you just said it like really, really well. I honestly am with you though, that it has the potential to kind of bring the franchise back out. You know, I guess we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed for it.
Yeah. And on a future Laughing Theory, you may hear more Men in Black talk. That's a tease. with somebody on this panel, no less.
Oh my God!
What? Oh my God! Mind blown!
You don't say.
I do say, Miranda.
On Facebook, or maybe until after that podcast.
All right. Well, moving on to the next movie that we're going to chat about: John Wick Chapter 3 Parabellum. Now, Miranda, you had this very, very high, number two, actually, on your list. Scott and Jenny had it number seven. I have it as a wild card. And Russell and Tim, it did not make an appearance on your list. Now, we're going to start with Jenny, though, because I think she's the biggest John Wick fan out of all of Place to Be Nation. And I know she's super psyched for this movie. So, Jenny, what are you really looking for in this movie?
Oh, I just want to watch people die. I just want more guns, more blood, more sex, more violence, and everything. Like, just all the Keanu, just, ugh, he's so good. He's so believable. And, you know, all this started from, like, a dead dog. So it's just incredible. To me that we've gotten this far and that it's done so well. Oh, I'm so happy because I mean this movie it's all the movies have been just balls to the wall, like amazing action, very good casting, the acting is really good, not like a cheesy like action movie that I do like. I mean it's actually like legit performances in these movies. And then, you know, it's overwhelming. Like it's an overwhelming experience for me to go and watch these John Wick movies. And I think I'm not alone. I mean, a lot of people like are all in on John Wick. So I think it's going to make a lot of money for what it is, especially with the violence and the rating that it has.
Yeah, I saw the first one. I have the second one in my DVR, which I have to watch very soon. Before I turn my cable boxes in when I move, but yeah,
it's despite the fact that I did not put it in my top 10 list, that's only because of the ridiculous amount of like high dollar earners that are already coming out this summer. But John Wick is, as Jenny said, it's one of the best, if not the best, modern action franchise. And it's a huge surprise that just came out of nowhere. And I would really love to see her face if Keanu Reeves and Halle Berry hook up in this movie.
Holy shit.
She might pass out.
Yeah, it could very well happen. But totally with her. I want this movie to make like just boo-koodles of money. And for its definitely low production budget, I'm expecting it to be a massive hit based on that. I mean, the franchise is already just, you know, huge. So it's not going to be hurting at all. It's going to make plenty of money. I'm certainly going to be there opening weekend for it. It's going to do fine. I just think that the competition that it faces at this year's box office is so strong, so high, that it may not be able to crack into the top 10 due to the high dollar amounts that all these other movies are likely going to make. But I think it's going to be just outside of it. I think it's going to be like around number 11 or something.
Yeah, I mean, and also the fact that it's an R-rated movie.
Yeah, that is going to hurt it in the summer movie season, no doubt. But as far as like the measuring stick for success for John Wick is different than it is for, say, something like Avengers Endgame. John Wick didn't cost nearly that much money to make or to market. It's got a certainly solid built-in fan base who is going to go see this movie. They're going to turn it into a hit, and if the last two are any indication, it's probably going to be really well reviewed as well. So this looks incredible. The trailers have been great. I can't wait to see more of Keanu Reeves just killing motherfuckers, because that's what he does best, and that's what I want to see him do.
Now, he was on a motorcycle killing folks with a sword.
Yes, my God. But there's a knife fight scene coming in that.
Holy shit.
That is going to blow people's minds. I can't wait to see that in full flight.
Awesome. Now, Miranda, number two?
Yes.
You think that only Avengers Endgame is going to make more money this summer?
Okay, the reason that I put that there, and I did debate it for a moment, so this wasn't me just like slapping it together. Russell brought up a good point. It costs less to make, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it has truly, the John Wick Chronicles here have gathered such a cult following, and I don't think the R-rated factor hurts it, because I did say that, you know, that time frame, 5/17, 5/10, because we were talking about Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Yes, schools are letting out, but there's still enough that are in that the parents are going to be like, one less shot. Let's go, you know, on this day because the kids are still in school. You see what I'm like? I don't know. I think that mixed with the cult following that it has kind of been given, in my opinion. I could be wrong about two, but I think high.
Well, that could make or break your
it could
standings,
you know,
in here.
That's the game. You
sometimes sometimes you got to take a chance, and you know, Miranda right. could be laughing all the way to the live watch.
You can make those fuck them kids dollars.
Yeah.
Fuck them kids, dirty money.
Right.
All right, Scott, Tim, you guys got anything to add about the John Wick franchise or this installment in particular?
I didn't have it on my list, not because I'm not rooting for it. I just I do think it's going to get kind of crowded out this year. I do think it'll be quite profitable in its own right. I just I can't see it really cracking a top 10. I just a hard R action movie, you know, Deadpool kind of more the exception than the rule. Plus, that's a built-in superhero franchise audience. Something like this, I just think it's got a limit, and it's not gonna a number 11 sounds kind of appropriate for it, but I'd like to see it do better than a lot of the choices that actually did make my list, I will say. So one to keep an eye on.
Oh, okay. So the next one we're gonna move on to is a bird movie. Artemis Fowl.
Yes. Yes.
I am the only one that had this on their list.
It is not a bird movie.
At number 10.
Yes, so, it is.
One of two bird movies.
Yes, there's actually double. There's more. I mean, like we said, Phoenix is a bird, so come on.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So I'm just going to read the plot description from IMDb, so kind of explain. Artemis Fowl II, a young Irish criminal mastermind, kidnaps the fairy leprechaun officer Holly Short for ransom to fund the search for his missing father in order to restore the family fortune.
The proliferating what?
The kidnaps
proliferating.
Kidnaps the fairy and now leprechaun. I'm just reading them. So look, and they have the LEP is in all caps, and then it's recon. This sounds
not
like
the leprechaun, the leprechaun.
Leprechaun. I mean, this just sounds like the what the hell is that Disney that Pixar thing with the elves came out around Christmas time. That's what this sounds like.
You guys,
what's the? I'm hearing Bird Movie.
Irish Mastermind is not a leprechaun.
Hey, it's got Dame Judi Dench and Josh Gad.
Josh Gad and Judi Dench
playing a bird person.
Oh my God!
Dark Jenny. Jenny is fully dead.
We've broken Jenny.
I was not expecting you to say fairy leprechaun.
Okay, let me explain.
All right. Let Miranda has the floor.
Okay. So this fairy that he ends up kind of capturing, which later in the series they, you know, figure things out.
Spoilers.
She is actually a police officer for the fairy, like part of the fairy world. And so she's on like a special recon team to make sure that the humans don't find out about them. And then, so it's LEP recon.
LEP.
Okay.
You're mixing your magical creatures here is what I'm hearing. Like, why would you name yourself that?
She's a recon. Oh my God.
So it's leprechauns, not birds.
No, it's fairies, not even
all kinds of fae, so guys. It's all kinds of fae, all kinds.
Fae, that sounds like True Blood.
Oh, this is true.
I'm hearing they're leprechaun birds.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, right. That's my takeaway.
You guys are horrible, and this is why. Even though it's one of my favorite book series, it did not make my list because enough people are going to be like, "What the fuck is this?" and they're not going to watch it.
Well, I mean, it's, yep. It doesn't have
fingers to all of you, but Andy.
Yeah, I'm not going to go.
Are you flipping us the bird?
I did it to myself.
When it's opening a week before another bird meets, I don't know how you expect. I mean, this market is going to be diluted with.
I mean, Jenny
feathers
just lower.
And foul.
I plan to go see it.
Can you lower the hammer? That's Check and me.
And he wants to see it. So anyway, I'm going. Have fun with that.
Well, you'll make $20 from Miranda.
Look, there are a few things in this world that are as fun as watching a movie in an empty theater. So, you know, you're going to have a great time.
And you know what? The first, like, 5 years that we lived here, we watched tons of stuff in an empty theater because, yeah.
I love
it. Nobody else wanted to go to that theater.
I love walking into a movie and be like, "Oh, private showing."
Right?
Then you pretend
when he was growing up.
Yeah, you pretend you won Mega Millions and like you're in your like living room.
Right? It was always just like us and our friends. Hell yeah.
I'm not saying anything negative about it, and I can't say shit because I went to see the Meg in IMAX and I was practically the only person in that theater.
Oh, that
you know
was
what?
Fun.
We had fun. Did you not?
I loved that movie.
There you go.
I do too. I love the Meg
because it's trash shark movies, and that's just my bag, baby.
Trash shark movies. Like, I don't care how trash they are. You gotta watch them.
I will watch Deep Blue Sea any day of the week.
Oh yes,
Leviathan.
There we go, Leviathan. And you know what? Jaws 3D.
Peter Weller punching that woman at the end.
Yes,
Jaws 3D. I saw it in 3D. It was
I saw that in the theater, yes.
When I saw Jaws 3D on television for the first time, and whenever that shark is coming at the screen,
it breaks the glass.
So great. And the glass breaks. God. Oh, it gets me every time. It's so good.
That's awesome.
That was back when you had to get the red and blue glasses.
That's right. I did.
I saw it. I remember my little cousin was visiting from California. We took her to see it. She was... Well, 3 years younger than me, but yeah. And then they had Jaws 4, right? With
Jaws Revenge. The shark actually knew where to go and find them. Swam thousands of miles to the Bahamas.
And the best part about that whole movie was Michael Caine. What is that in the water? Is that a bloody shark? What is happening here?
Alfred talked for sharks.
Wow.
My favorite Jaws.
All right. Tim has been trying to talk for a second.
My favorite Jaws movie is the Jaws the Revenge sequel that Jenny and I fantasy booked on Talkin' Pop, our live watch of My Father the Hero. So there's your soft plug for Talkin' Pop.
Did the shark eat Katherine Heigl? Please tell me it did.
It was, well. You'll have to listen to the show.
All right.
I mean,
it's a hidden gem of a show, is what I'm saying.
It's like, look, My Father the Hero, underrated. I'll say it's
like My Father the Hero.
Well, My Father the Hero is a stealth sequel to Jaws the Revenge.
Ah, what? Okay. Mind blown.
Yep. Check it out.
So, should I do the rest of the show as Michael Caine?
I mean, I'm okay with that.
Now, our next movie is the next Quentin Tarantino flick. No, sorry. So, we're going to move on.
I made a Russian abandoned girl kill your own bloody shark.
Is that what I think it is down there? Emon. All right. They're studying fucking snails. All right.
To all those fishing lessons if you can't catch your own bloody shark.
I call it Bruce. All right. So.
Oh, man.
Listening to us.
No, we're gonna edit this, and the outtakes are gonna be better than the actual show.
Oh no, no! You're
people checked
this
out an hour ago. What are you talking about? We're just here.
We're just entertaining ourselves at this point.
Like when this posts, we're all gonna just be. We're gonna go listen to it. So we're just gonna be listening to ourselves. That's what's gonna happen.
The fairy police are gonna come after.
Get those download numbers up. I'll tell you.
The lip recon.
Lip recon.
Shut up.
The lip recon.
God bless.
I'm just gonna edit that part and just play it over and over again.
It's the left pre-call, don't you know?
Sticking feathers up your ass does not make you a leprechaun.
I wish Greg was on the show to do it as JR.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, God.
That's the missing ingredient.
Yeah, oh, leprechaun, huh?
Leprechaun.
If we had Marl Rinal over, it's a leprechaun! He's doing it!
As God is my witness, he is up his ass!
It's a top rope, bro, so leprechaun!
I laughed so loud at you guys are horrible. You're making me like. Oh, in all honesty, I think Artemis Fowl is going to turn out kind of like A Wrinkle in Time did, where like you want it to do good because you love the book and you love the book series, but nobody's really going to.
I just think, well, it's August and nothing else is coming out around then except for the Angry Birds movie too. So I think people are, if it's hot as hell outside, people are going to just go just to get in the air conditioning. So that could help. It's okay. could be hot as fuck. Just like, I don't care what it is. If it's a bird movie, it's leprechauns and fairies. I don't care. Just cool me off.
Whatever. Can my kids sit down and watch it for an hour and a half? Sure. We're going then. We're going.
All right. So the next movie is the next Tarantino movie, his ninth movie. And according to him, he only has one more after. I think he's retiring after his 10th movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, Scott had it at number two. Myself and Jenny had it as wild cards. And Miranda, Tim, and Russell, it did not make their list.
Yes, so, it did. It's my number 10.
Is it your number 10?
Let me see. It's my number 10.
It is. Oh.
Yep.
See, I got to pay more attention these days.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, quite all right.
You put it on read only, and then you can't even read it.
Well, I can edit it.
By God.
By God. Why go?
No, I'm just giving you shit.
I know. It's okay. You can give me shit, Tim. You're allowed. So, Scott, kind of explain your thought process for putting a Tarantino movie at number two.
Kind of the same reason that I've been the theme of most of my comments tonight about the hangover of superhero movies. I think people this summer are going to be looking for some different things. And I think and that's why I think Rocketman will do pretty well. Because I think biopics are hot now after Bohemian Rhapsody, and period pieces, and this takes place in the 60s era of Hollywood. I think that kind of stuff is kind of very attractive to older movie viewers that don't have kids. And I know that I feel like the only reason we're picking movies to do really well is because people have children. And I mean, yeah, logistically that makes a ton of sense, but I think you're going to see kind of a renaissance of kind of period pieces for 60s and 70s. And, you know, again, Bohemian Rhapsody did well because it took place in the 70s into the 80s. And I think it's something different and it's a different kind of movie for Tarantino. Plus you got Leo and Brad, who I don't think ever did anything together. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a fascinating combo that may be a lot. And it looks like they're having, like, I watched a trailer. It looks like they're having legitimate fun while they're doing the movie. So I think this is going to attract a lot of people, and I think it'll be a dark horse. And I have a feeling it's going to make a ton of money. And I think, and not by much, I think it's going to, in my list, I think it's just going to eke past Toy Story 4 for number two. Not by a lot.
Wow.
But just enough to make it the biggest shock movie, money-wise, of the year.
I mean,
just because I think Leo and Brad are going to be a great combo. I think the period piece of the swinging Hollywood 60s will be attractive to adult viewers who want to watch something different other than a superhero movie or a monster movie. I think it's a perfect alternative for people that don't give a shit about Marvel or give a shit about Disney. And I think that's the one people will flock to if they're not going to see any of the others.
Well, I mean, it's going to make money based on its budget.
To Artemis Fowl, you know, which opens the same weekend.
Oh, dear Jesus Christ.
Once upon a time in an aviary.
Would they flock to it or would they fly to it?
Well, there is flying. No, actually, there is flying. I will give you that. There is some flying that takes place.
Because the fairies, right?
Right. Well, and then there's like contraptions and stuff that are built.
We already established the leprechauns are birds.
Oh, my God.
He said it was an anger. The fairies, right?
Force watch. I'm going to make all of you go watch this with me. I'm going to force you to watch it with me.
You guys, we better hope Miranda doesn't win this contest because we're all watching Artemis Fowl.
if Miranda wins this contest, I will watch Artemis Fowl.
I can't wait.
I will too. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I'm a Tarantino mark, so I'm definitely going to go see it. It's positioned really well in the summer because it's at the end of the summer. All the superhero movies are done. So Once Upon a Time in Hollywood could absolutely be a great palate cleanser. It's going to be different from everything else that's coming out. I'm with Scott. The trailers looked absolutely great. The guy they cast as Bruce Lee is spot freaking on.
Oh, he's fucking awesome.
My God, nailed it. I want a whole movie. I want a whole movie of that guy.
Yeah, I agree.
I want that.
Bruce Lee biopic.
And I desperately want that now just from that trailer. I want this to be really good. I think it will be number two of the summer. I think that's very much wishful thinking. But as far as the movie is concerned, I think it's going to be good. I think Tarantino is probably doing this as a probably another kind of passion project for him. It feels like something that he's really wanted to do for a long time. He's been talking about it for years. And to finally see it come to fruition and for it to look that good, Leo and Brad are usually a powerhouse on their own. So I'm very curious to see how they're going to play off of each other. I hope that they have chemistry. But in their individual scenes, looks like they're both still at the top of their game. So if anything, it's going to be one of those summertime movies that could potentially be an Oscar contender as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where its reward is really going to come. Not so much in like high dollar box office, but I think people need to go ahead and start considering this one as an Oscar contender. So Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, going to be one on my list to go see. I'll be there probably opening weekend, probably right along with a whole bunch of other people. Great.
I'll be there.
Great, great way to cap off the summer.
Yeah, and like most Tarantino movies, it's got a stellar cast, including Brad and Leo. It's got Margot Robbie, Timothy Oliphant, Dakota Fanning, Pacino, Kurt Russell, the unfortunately late Luke Perry, Damian Lewis, Tim Roth, James Clifton Collins Jr., Michael Madsen. So yeah, a lot of the staples. Bruce Dern is in it, which a part actually is supposed to be played by Burt Reynolds before he passed away. So yeah, it looks very, very cool. But you know, I think it's going to do well just based on its budget as well, like John Wick. But
yeah,
for the purposes of our little contest, I don't think – will it be one of my favorite movies of summer? I would probably guarantee it's going to be one of my favorite movies of summer, but I don't think it's going to be the box office monster that you may want it to be.
Yeah, I will say that all of my picks other than this one were kind of just by the numbers. And then I got to number 10 and just thought, what feels like a number 10 summer movie? Just on gut instinct. And it was this one. Even though Tarantino's last film, which I think was The Hateful Eight, correct me if I'm wrong. Yes.
Yep, that's correct.
Didn't do great domestically. As Scott and Russell, you guys have pointed out, this is a kind of feels a different type of Tarantino movie. It's got that great cast. Do not underestimate the 1-2 punch of Brad and Leo. I think that's going to be awesome. I think it's going to put the asses in the seats. And yeah, this could be a bit of a sleeper. And not only the tremendous cast, you've got that great placement for it as well. Like you were saying, Russell, end of the summer, got a pretty wide open field. So, yeah, I see this cracking the top 10, just barely.
Yeah, The Hateful Eight did not have the best placement for its initial release. It was released on Christmas Day 2015.
That's right.
It was also 2 hours and 47 minutes long. And even though I really like that movie, it's one of those that you're going to feel every minute of it.
Yeah, not
exactly a date movie. This feels more like a date.
Certainly not.
You know?
Yeah, like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood feels like it's got that more of that classic Tarantino feel to it, whereas The Hateful Eight was more like an exercise in tolerance. Mm-hmm. But yet a fun one. So,
oh, yeah, I was there for it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a mark for Tarantino as well. But that's where I'm at.
All right, cool. All right, so we're going to move on to an animated movie, The Secret Life of Pets 2. I have it, and Tim has it as wild cards, and nobody else has it on their list. So,
they come to regret that.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming out. I've never seen the first one, even though I have kids. I think, I believe their mom took them to see that. I got out of that one. I mean, it's coming out, about 2 weeks before Toy Story 4. So it's got a little bit of time to make some money. But honestly, when I looked at the trailers and the plot synopsis of the first one, it sounded like Toy Story. Really, with pets.
With birds.
There are some birds in it.
We've got more birds. Yes, another bird movie.
There's going to be a very contentious episode of Geek and Sassy coming up soon.
All of us who left this movie off of our list may come to regret it.
I regret nothing.
First one did stupid good money.
Yeah, it did. The first one was made on a production budget of $75 million, worldwide gross $875 million. The sequel is probably going to repeat that, I think.
Get out of here with your facts and your numbers.
Do you think the replacement of Louis C.K. is going to do anything?
Yeah,
I don't think the kids were showing up for him.
Honestly, this movie, Secret Life of Pets 2, is opening against Dark Phoenix, and
might beat it. Actually,
I think it's going to.
It's going to be.
I think Dark Phoenix is actually going to struggle to compete with Secret Life of Pets 2, and that's something I never thought I would say. but here we are. When you look at like where people are in terms of like where's their franchise love at? I think that people have fallen out of love with the X-Men franchise after Apocalypse, and Dark Phoenix's trailers ain't exactly setting anybody's world on fire, other than the literal setting the world on fire that they do in the trailer. But
Lost, people are going to have bird movie fatigue. And
yeah,
I'm going to show up
absolutely.
For Dark Phoenix movie.
Well, that comes out before Artemis Fowl.
Yeah, everybody's already tired of the bird.
Yeah.
The bird is not the word.
They are preemptively canceling bird movies is what's happening.
I think
when Jenny was describing John Wick 3, she was actually describing the next episode of Geek and Sassy. Blood, violence, death.
Sex.
They kill his bird,
and that
is what happened.
They killed Amanda's bird.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Luckily, she's about She's about to have her jaw wired shut for like 6 weeks, so I won't
have to
hear.
You're not wiring it shut.
God damn, where have we gone? What are we doing?
Like, seriously, like, I'm having surgery of a jaw. So she's like, woohoo, Miranda can't yell at me for a while.
Don't worry, we'll yell at her for you.
Yeah. Damn it.
All right, so. All right, Jenny, Miranda, you think you're going to get dragged to that one?
Hell no. Next.
Yeah. I am. We actually saw the first one in the theater, and we own the first one. And, again, that was a preview that played, I want to say, before The Missing Link. He was like, yeah, yeah. So I know we're going to see it. But I didn't put it on my list because I was – when you're considering the entire list – at some point, something has to not make it, basically. Yep. It's the only reason this one didn't.
Yeah. There's going to be omissions here and there. So moving on to Dark Phoenix, as we've talked about a little bit. So, Miranda, you had that at number 8. Scott had it at 9. Russell, you had it at number 10. I have it as my biggest bomb. And Tim, let me read your list again so I don't make another mistake. You don't have it. You have omitted it. So, like I said, I think it's going to be the bomb because – not the bomb, but the bomb of the summer, not the bomb.
Bomb.com.
Yeah, the bomb. Because
Wrong bomb.
I think people don't give a shit, really, about the X-Men anymore, I think. I think, you know, the movies have gone down in quality. I think everybody pretty much knows that it's going to be whole rebooted, retconned, whatever. So I think people are kind of checked out on it, and based on its budget, I don't think it's going to make the money back that it needs to.
I don't think Fox even gives a shit anymore, to be honest with you. I think they checked out on it too.
I mean,
it's not their problem anymore.
It is gonna probably lose the Secret Life of Pets, and it might not even be Shaft and Men in Black and then Toy Story. So where is it going to go? It's going to, you know, fade into obscurity as probably the last released.
I don't even think there's enough curiosity in how that series ends from people because we all know it's a foregone conclusion. That's it for the Fox series of X-Men movies. But it's so to the point of apathy that people aren't even necessarily going to give it their hate dollars. So, and what confidence must Universal have that it's going to fail to put Secret Life Pets 2 up in
the universe? Okay. I think that's a correct assessment. That putting Secret Life of Pets 2 there and then like not blinking whenever Dark Phoenix got put on that schedule, that clearly shows where I think everyone knows this franchise is at now. It is
including the industry.
Yeah, it's a foregone conclusion. This is done. And when you look at X-Men Apocalypse, it didn't even make its production budget back domestically. So,
worldwide, that almost never happens with these movies.
It doesn't because, I mean, the one before Apocalypse was Days of Future Past, which was a massive hit, like critically and commercially. Mm-hmm. And then Apocalypse comes out. The reviews were not that kind, and word of mouth spread very quickly that the movie was just not good. And that killed it. That killed it at the box office. I think Dark Phoenix looks to suffer the same fate, especially considering how worried Fox got about it whenever the first cut of it was turned in. They delayed the movie over and over again to reshoot this thing.
Hey, Tim. Do you think something like roasted broccoli people could turn it around for Dark Phoenix? Because, I would want to see that.
If they do the if they do the Tim and Todd version of that, it could really pay dividends, I'm sure.
No, I will pay to see that.
Our fantasy rebooking of how she destroyed the planet of the broccoli people is, tune into Conversation Comics, folks. Another soft plug. That's what we call them here on Place B Nation. Boop!
Ain't nothing soft on Place B Nation Pop.
No.
Hey, now.
I almost put this one as my dark horse instead of a couple of the others because I think that if word of mouth is strong enough on it, like off chance that it actually turns out to be okay, then it might make enough money to to justify its existence in some way, but I think that the reality is it's not going to do it. It's not going to make its production budget back. It's going to be the final nail in the coffin of this take on the X-Men, and we will all eagerly anticipate the MCU reboot that'll come in probably like 10 years.
Yeah, it's going to be a little while before we see them.
Yeah, they'll do Fantastic Four first.
prediction, Galactus and Silver Surfer in the Endgame post-credits.
Ooh, that sounds like fun.
Mm.
All right.
Mm. I think we see Ben Grimm in the post-credits.
I don't think you see any actual members of the FF. I think that they'll go with the creature or like characters they can easily just CGI and not have to attach an actor to. Kind of like they did
CGI like a stone foot, maybe, you know, something like that. Who knows?
All right, so next movie we're going to chat about is Rocket Man. Jenny had that number 10. Russell, Scott, and Miranda has a wild card, and Tim and I omitted it from our list. Now, Scott, I know you're a big biopic music Elton John guy. So tell us about Rocket Man, what you're looking forward to there.
Well, I mean, it's obviously in the same – it's going to be in the same vein as Bohemian Rhapsody. The only difference is Elton's still alive. So I'm sure knowing Elton, you know, he probably had his hands all over it. But it looks like the same. It just looks really good. And any of these kind of movies where you can kind of sing in the theater, like, I mean, I remember when I saw Bohemian Rhapsody, everybody was singing everything. And I think people get kind of excited and fun about it. So I originally had it in my list like at 7 or 8, but I don't think it's going to make the same. I don't think it's going to have the same impact that Bohemian Rhapsody did. Like, it may make some Oscar buzz, but probably not. But I still think it'll make a decent amount of money. I think a lot of people will go, again, for the music because Elton's catalog is so great. And a lot of people who aren't, like, diehard music fans like me or who've seen Elton live and know a lot about his career. So having said that, I think the curiosity factor of it, and I think that biopics are becoming – is going to be the next kind of hot genre. I think we'll lend this to being doing very well. And I think it comes out, what, beginning of June, right? Or end of May? When's it come out?
The 31st, the same weekend as Godzilla.
Okay. That's not going to matter.
No, it's two different audiences.
Two different audiences. I mean, I'll see both, and a lot of people probably will see both, so it's not the end of the world. But I think it'll do pretty well. Because, again, I think people are in that frame of mind. They want to go to a movie where they'll be like, I know, and they'll start singing, you know, Levon or Tiny Dancer or, you know, Rocket Man. And I think that'll kind of get people excited. It'll be a fun movie to see with a group. Like you talk about you know, movies that kids will be taken to. This is the kind of movie that, like, you go to the bar, have a few, and then you go to the movie. So you could see probably, like, you know, crowds of 7 or 8 people going to see it so they could sing the songs while they're on the screen. Stuff like that, I think we'll give it. Yeah, totally fucking hammered. I saw Almost Famous bombed. You know, I think that's what it'll be. It'll be kind of a fun singy song movie on a rainy Saturday or whatever. And I think it'll make some decent money. It won't make the top 10, but it'll do pretty well.
All right. Anybody else have thoughts about Rocket Man?
Well, y'all know my opinion about Bohemian Rhapsody, so I feel like
you thought it was doo doo shit.
It was.
It was what it was,
but I think this will be, like Scott did, a lot similar to that. I do love Elton John. I do love biopics. I do love, like, period pieces or whatever. So I don't know. It probably won't be about Godzilla for me, but if I'm going to know Elton, I'm just curious, again, how dark they're going to go. Like, you say it's going to be light and fun, but I feel like the more interesting part of that is like the seedier stuff. So I don't think we're going to get as much of that for a good reason or whatever, but that's just me being curious and wanting to see that sort of thing as opposed to something bouncy.
All right. Cool. All right. So now we're going to move on to the Angry Birds movie 2. Jenny, you have it at number 9, and Tim, you have it as your bomb of the summer. So, Tim, you're
rash. This is a movie about birds, Tim.
Yes, this is actual. Yeah.
This finally is.
So your rationale for putting this as your biggest bomb of the summer.
So, I don't know. I looked at that first movie, right? Angry Birds. When did that come out?
Probably 3 years ago.
A few years ago, and it did okay. It made over $100 million domestic, which kind of sounded about right for where the popularity of that concept was at the time. Like, I do remember when Angry Birds was like a huge thing, like the parents with kids and mostly complaining about it, understandably. But it was just like, while I didn't get it and didn't care about it, I knew that it was a big, big popular thing for a while, and then it seemed like it went away, and yet we're getting another movie. Despite the fact that, I mean, honestly, while the first one made money, it didn't like make bonkers a huge profit or anything. So I'm just sort of baffled a little bit that this is happening. And although those of you with children have told me this is still a thing with your kids, the fact that it doesn't seem to be as big of a thing makes me think it's not even going to do as well as the first one. And I'm like, if it doesn't even do that well in this summer movie season, it just feels like their goose is cooked.
I mean, it comes out late August. There's no real competition for it. And again, that's another thing. It's like, you know, if it's hot outside, nothing else to do. I mean, that's probably the only way that my kids are 12 and almost 17. So unless it's like, you know, we got nothing to do and it's hot and it's like, you just want to get out of the house. You guys want to go see?
This is where, I mean, while, yeah, it is a new movie opening, this is where I see people going to see like The Lion King again, rather than seeing Angry Birds 2 the first time.
I agree.
Yeah, if it weren't for Ugly Dolls, this would be the biggest bomb of the summer.
Is that another terrible bird movie?
It might as well be, but Ugly Dolls is also opening only 1 week after Endgame. There is no way that movie makes money. I'm sorry. It's going to get trounced. And then Pokemon Detective Pikachu opens the weekend after. It stands no chance of making money, on top of the fact that, what the hell is even Ugly Dolls?
Could explain it, but you shot down my Artemis Fowl, so I don't know why the fuck I'm going to try to explain anything.
Well, I mean, if it was a movie about birds, people would want to go see it. I mean, they're not going to be tired of them until Angry Birds 2 comes out.
My thoughts on this are extremely skewed because my child has been obsessed with Angry Birds since he was 3 years old. And it'll go in cycles. Like, he'll kind of phase out of it and then he'll just come right back to it. So right now he's playing Bad Piggies. He plays with his plushes. He has like a bazillion Angry Birds plushes. He knows every single thing about Angry Birds he knows things about Rovio. I mean, the kid is just a fountain of knowledge. So I all of my expectations are based on his opinion,
right?
As they should be when it comes to this. But I think a lot of kids are like that. Like, they're like, oh yeah, I forgot about Angry Birds. And then they might get back into it real quick for a minute because they'll start seeing the commercials. The toys will come out. It'll be in the Happy Meals. And yep. So it'll be all over the place and it'll remind them. And I think that will be where you find your audience.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things like when the trailer first popped up, but I think my kids looked at me going, they're making another one? So it's kind of like.
Mine said, finally.
Right. Ethan is so excited.
We actually have videos on my iPad where at one point, Caden and Ethan begged Jenny and I to have a YouTube channel, and we kept going, no, no. And so if you go to my YouTube account, which is actually supposed to be like just for me to have like watch things, There's actually videos that I guess they snuck and made where they're like, but we don't talk or show our faces.
And it's about Angry Birds.
Yeah, it's Angry Birds. They're Angry Birds plushies, and they're, yeah.
Which a lot of kids do that. They will, like, that's what he watches a lot on YouTube, yeah. Is like kids acting out scenarios.
Oh, yeah.
Angry Birds.
When my daughter was younger, she used to watch, they were called LPS videos. And it was Lil's Pet Shops, where they basically would have the things go, what are you doing? I'm not going. I'm going to start. And I'm like, what the fuck are you watching? It's like watching other kids play video games. I'm like, what the fuck are you watching?
Yep. That's what it is.
Jenny, you want to play Sylvanian this weekend?
Yeah. Oh, Lord. I can't wait to play Sylvanian.
Oh, sounds so good.
All right.
I can't believe the first Angry Birds movie is the second highest grossing video game movie of all time.
Really?
No, that seems legit.
Yeah. Huh. Only Warcraft made more.
Because all the other video game movies have been shit. I mean, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. I mean, the only good thing about Mortal Kombat was the soundtrack.
So. The soundtrack was good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was, I'm a Warcraft person. I was really sad because none of the theaters or anything put any stock into the Warcraft movie. They're like, whatever. So, like, our theater played it for, like, 2 times in 1 week, and it was just gone. And then, like, even in Dothan, like, it was just gone. I'm like, really? What? Like, it didn't last long in our area.
But didn't that make a shit ton overseas, though, Warcraft?
It did. It made a shit ton.
It made overall, it made $433.5 million. Let me see what it did domestically. Budget of 160. Oh, here it is. It made $25 million opening weekend, 3.1. It went on to gross $24.2 million in its first weekend. And then it made outside the U.S. It made like 320. So it made more overseas.
Yeah,
it made a ton overseas.
Hmm. Yeah. Honestly, the only reason I don't think the Angry Birds is going to bomb is, you know, like Jenny said it like. Perfectly. Like I can't say it any better. The only thing that I think possibly might hurt it is down here in our area, 8-16, they're already in school. They're already back in school.
Oh wow.
So yeah. So they'll it'll have to be like, you know, hey, I guess we'll go to this because you know there's not much coming out and you're fixing to have a lot. They'll have just started, so there won't be like really homework or anything yet. So it'll be one of those like we'll go probably opening weekend, and because all the kids are like I don't really want to be in school, the parents will take them opening weekend, but that may also hurt it a little. I still don't think it's going to be the bomb of the summer.
What's the budget on Angry Birds 2?
I do not know that.
I probably should have looked at that before I made this snap judgment of wishful thinking because the thing is stupid and I don't like it and I want it to do that.
I didn't do that too many times.
This was like my one. This is like my mulligan, I guess.
We all have a Fast and Furious. Sorry.
Yeah, no, seriously. Everybody has something. That
everybody has
like,
their one.
Two in my family.
Well, while he's looking that up, and since Ugly Dolls is not on the list, and Russell's like, what even the hell is it? Right. It's based off of a toy line, actually, and it's basically supposed to teach the lesson that, you know, just because you're ugly, because they, these ugly dolls show up in a town of, like, perfection, where all the dolls are, like, perfect, and they all are, like, beautiful, and everybody wants one of the beautiful dolls, and... kind of teaching the important that like perfection is not, you know, what you have to have. You don't, you can look different and it's fine that you look different kind of deal. The only thing I think, honestly, I feel it has the potential to be another Trolls.
Or it could be an Emoji Movie.
It could. I mean, honestly, but it has the potential to be another Trolls movie. And my kid is like, are we going? Can we go? Can we go? Can we go? So, yeah.
Well, I find nothing on the production budget of Angry Birds.
Yeah, I can't find it either. Yeah, no, I can't either.
Very strange. But
let's put it this way: the budget for the first one was
$73 million.
So, probably a little bit more than that.
Probably a little more. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm still. Yeah, you mentioned something like Ugly Dolls, which I didn't even really look at, which probably tells you all you need to know. Does it do worse than that? I mean, probably not, but anyway, we all have our one.
They're little like plush dolls that like one doesn't have an eye. Like so he has an X over where one of his eyes is gone because it's supposed to be there. One has wings and it's red. Like they're just, they look like traditional like random like plush toys, and the other ones are like dolls. I guess more like a Barbie or something like that. And that's where the
they're the ones that quality control sees them on the assembly line and throws them in the pile. Get out of here.
That, no, essentially that's how it kind of the preview went. But it's got a pretty big, like, well-known cast, and the music soundtrack is supposed to be really good. So that's why I said it has potential to possibly be another Trolls movie. So that's why I didn't just kind of write it. It's not anywhere on my list, but it's not a bomb either. I didn't just write it off because of that.
It's on your list, actually.
Is it?
Yes.
Did I?
It's number 9.
Okay.
He's like, actually.
No, I'm glad you caught that. For some reason, I thought I left it off entirely.
Oh, yeah. So,
but it all comes down to, like, I was thinking of, like, how well the Trolls ended up doing, and I was like, you know what? It could have the same effect. But you're right. It could end up being a Moj movie, which I own, and I, ugh.
So let's run through a couple more, and then we'll get everybody out of here. Let's see. Annabelle Comes Home. You couldn't pay me to see this fucking scary doll movie.
I'm so pumped for that.
Miranda, you have it at 10. Tim, you have it at a wild card. And nobody else, I believe, has it on their list. But Scott, you know, these are low-budgeted horror movies for the most part, these kind of movies. So they're gonna do well. They're just not for our purposes. So what are you psyched about for Annabelle Comes Home?
Well, it's a great series. I mean, the Conjuring franchise, it's the first time that we're gonna get like a legitimate building franchise outside of the big three, Halloween, Friday, and Nightmare. I mean, you have Hellraiser, but this is, I mean, now we're talking about five movies now. If you count the two Conjurings, this will be the third Annabelle, and then you got the Nun. Oh, and then you got the
Nun, which I made the mistake of watching on Easter. So
Jesus.
It was okay.
And then the new one that's out, the Curse of I think it's La Llorca, which is a Mexican myth or legend about a ghost of a woman who lost her children, and she roams the countryside of Mexico crying or something. So that's coming out too. So I mean, it's an amazing franchise for very little money. And again, it's based on the Warrens who lived in Connecticut. So, and I met them a few times actually. And so I've always had kind of an interest in them anyway. But it's creepy as fuck, but it's tremendous. And, but not for our contest. No, it's not. It won't make that kind of money. It won't make like Halloween money, but it'll do pretty well again for the horror junkies. It'll do pretty well.
If I'm going for a crazy haunted doll movie, I'm going to see Child's Play.
I'm with you.
That's where my money's going to go.
Yeah, no, I'm going to see that too. I'm a little skeptical because, I mean, I loved, it's not even called Chucky.
Right.
But it is, what's his name's voicing it?
Mark Hamill.
Yeah. And that's good enough for me. I mean, the Joker is Chucky. Fuck yeah.
Right.
You know, shit.
The trailers look pretty legit for me.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Gory.
And they come out a week apart too. Annabelle comes out a week before. So let's talk about Child's Play. Let's see how did it fare. So in this wild card, Scott, Jenny, and Miranda, and then myself, Russell, and Tim did not have it on our list. So Jenny, you psyched for this? Is this a reboot or is this a?
It's a full remake.
A full remake.
Yeah, it's full. Yeah, full starting track. Yeah.
Okay.
Which I think is cool. I mean, you know. Everybody's doing that, so let's just do that again. But yeah, Mark Hamill, I'm down for. I just like weird stuff. I like a lot of gore. The kid playing in it looks pretty legit. I mean, as child actors go, so it looks like there's some potential there. And you know, I just think it'll be fun. It's a fun slasher. Film.
Is the mom from Seventh Heaven gonna do a cameo?
That would be awesome.
She's awesome.
That'd be great.
Wonder if
Mish.
Yeah, she was a smoke show. I agree with that. When it comes to TV moms, she definitely was. And she was in Star Trek. That doesn't hurt either.
That's right. Yeah.
So
there you go.
But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that too. I think it'll be really good. The original Child's Play kind of franchise kind of petered out. The last couple were okay, not great.
Right.
But this was definitely due for a refresh. I don't have a problem with.
Aubrey Plaza is in it, and she's so good.
Yeah.
She's great.
Yeah. She's so much fun.
Yeah, she could be Hachi Machi.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, Aubrey, definitely. And this is a different role for her. She's not the smart, direct smart ass. She's the mom. So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I think this one actually does have potential to be one of those sleeper hits. Should be an entertaining time at the movies. Kind of an interesting look to the, I guess, the mythology behind it, because I think that Chucky is going to be less a like voodoo priest kind of serial killer who accidentally puts himself in the body of a doll, but more a serial killer who winds up putting his brain in an AI that is connected to these Chucky dolls.
Hmm. That's cool.
So it feels like a good way to refresh this series. Could potentially be a way to revive another dead franchise. So here's hoping it does well, because I mean, the recent crop of horror reboots has actually been pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the original stuff, like the new original horror franchises, like the Conjuring series, we get stuff like It and the more recent Pet Cemetery, and now it looks like Child's Play may get the same kind of treatment. So it's hell of a time for horror fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree.
All right. Speaking of horror movies, Dora and the Lost City of Gold.
Segue on point.
What right? The fuck?
That was pretty awesome.
Miranda has this as a wild card. Jenny has it as her bomb. And that's as far as it goes for this panel. Yeah. I mean, I finally saw a trailer, and I kind of just, the whole time, I just was like, what the fucking in my head? Like, and that's without Danny Trejo voicing Boots the monkey, which is I heard.
That makes my day, guys.
That's the one thing that made me pause, but I was like, nah, still.
Yeah, as much as I love Danny Trejo, they ain't getting my $12 to go see him voice a monkey.
No.
I mean, like, I could get really stoned and enjoy this movie, but I'm probably not going to do that.
Nah.
It's just why. I don't know.
Okay.
They try to turn Dora into that new...
Is Dora still a thing?
Actually, it is with the little kids.
I mean, my kids were into Dora and Diego. Diego just came out when my kids were little. So
same for us. Diego was new when Caden was little.
So they had the toys and quite a bit.
So, as a dad that had kids that watched Dora and Diego... You mean to tell me when you had to sit there and watch it with them, you never made up like scenarios such as Dora actually works for the drug cartel, and so what's in backpack? She's got to make sure she follows the map, because if she doesn't, she's going to not get her delivery where it needs to go, and Swiper is actually the rival gang, and like the whole point of her being like, Swiper, no, asshole, no, is because like, that'll fuck everything up. Like, you didn't come up with stories like that?
Oh, I like this.
No.
Okay, well.
I mean, I that never crossed my mind, actually.
I spent a lot of time screaming at the TV because she would ask you a question and then wait fucking 20 seconds and then say the answer. So I would just be like, God damn you, Dora.
Oh, my God. Do you know how many times I was like, Dora, you dumb bitch. She's right there.
She just stands there and blinks at you. God, right. Sucks.
And that map, I know what's going on.
I'm the map.
He's the map. He's the map. Swiper, no swiping. Swiper, no swiping.
Oh, man.
I would rather do this as a PTBN audio play.
Yes! Oh, I want my Dora.
Can we? And Dora, seriously, she's MAP and she's a drug cartel. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to have to talk to the manager.
I'll talk to the manager, but I need Greg to write it because I'm not that good at that part.
Oh, God, don't let Aaron write it. Lord knows where we're going to end up.
No, the only reason I put this as a wild card is because I happen to know that other mothers did the same shit I did and, like, made up stories of what the Backyardigans and Dora and
The fucking Backyardigans
were actually doing. So I think there will be some parents that will go see it just because of that, because they're like, you know what? Can't believe I'm doing this to myself, but I'm going to fucking find out.
You guys didn't have to suffer through the Wiggles and the Doodle Bops, so.
No, I did. No, really? I did.
Wow, that was like my daughter.
I refused the Wiggles in my house, and then my sister-in-law, I would show up to pick him up because she would, like, babysit him for me, and she'd be, like, in there making him, like, dance and do the Wiggles, and I'm like, oh, I fucking hate you.
Oh, I banned Caillou.
Caillou is an asshole. Don't get me started.
Imagine a live-action Caillou.
Oh, God, no. No, that's my version of hell.
God, that's dreadful.
Oh, my God.
That whiny little bastard. No, I would. I'll fucking smack him.
Oh, God.
Be like, why are you not bending him over your knee and just...
Or locking him in the fucking closet.
Caillou wanted to go, but gee, that fucking voice, that narrator. Oh, my God.
The whole show sucked.
Oh, so horrible.
What the fuck are you watching Caillou for?
My niece watched Caillou.
Oh, Mia watched Caillou. Oh, God. Yeah, it was horrible. I banned that fucking show. My kids always bring it up. They're like, Dad, you want to watch Caillou? I'm like, get out of here.
Diseased looking and
All right, so we're just going to quickly go through some of the movies that we really didn't get into that appeared on lists in one place or the other. Now, Russell, we didn't talk about two of your wild cards. You had Brightburn and The Dead Don't Die. Now, what's Brightburn? Is that what's that? That's the Matthew McConaughey movie?
No. Brightburn is a take on evil Superman. From James Gunn.
Oh, okay.
And the trailers for this look absolutely awesome. It's basically like, what if a Superman-like character, you know, comes to Earth as a child from a dead world, and instead of being, you know, at his core a good person who's raised by nice people, he's still raised by nice people, but he's a sociopathic, like murdering psychopath. And it's definitely creepy kid movie, but it's like he has all the powers of Superman: flight, super strength, heat vision, all this. And it's it looks absolutely tremendous to me. I think that movie stands a chance of being a real sleeper hit for the summer. I don't know about cracking the top 10, but I think it's going to be one of those that people are saying, holy shit, this is really good. People need to go see it.
And then you also had The Dead Don't Die, which looks hysterical.
Adam Driver,
oh, my God. Bill Murray, so funny.
Zombie movie. Done. This is going to be – I know everybody's excited for the Zombieland sequel maybe, but I think this is going to be for this year what Zombieland was for the year that it came out.
Yeah,
I'm with you on both those.
Big surprise hit.
Yeah. Now, let's see. Scott, you had The New Mutants at number 10. We don't even know if that's coming out.
Yeah, it may not even come out. If it doesn't come out, I would probably move Child's Play up to 10. I think it would still do better. Because my wild cards were Child's Play, Rocket Man, and actually Shaft.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't even know why they got to do a new Shaft. Because it's the fourth Shaft. But I think Child's Play could probably sneak in that spot. I wouldn't be surprised if Dark Phoenix never came out. Oh, no, it is going to come out.
Yeah.
but it doesn't have to.
Just no one will see it.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, you and Tim both had that as wild cards.
Yeah.
So
I could see Child's Play moving up to my 10 if New Mutants doesn't come out. But
hey, you took a chance, man. You got your number 10 movie.
I did? Yeah.
It doesn't come out. I explained that to Mr. Duke. It doesn't come out. That's all right.
But
and if you're going to take a risk, actually based on the rules of this game, 9 is where you take that risk.
Yeah. But I think a sleeper for money is going to be that John Wick 3. I agree with everybody's thinking on that. I think
being the big action movie that it is, I think it'll be a, I think it'll make more money than people think.
Yeah. And Tim, how come you had Shaft on there?
Well, just taking a lesson out of Wesley Snipes' playbook, always bet on black.
There you go.
That's maybe not top 10, but good enough for a wild card, I think.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Keep an eye on it.
Yeah. And Miranda, you had The Hustle as your bomb.
Yep.
So, what's that? And that is the, is that the, that was it the, is that the Rebel Wilson, Anne Hathaway?
It is.
Movie? Yeah, that looks horrible.
Well, it honestly, like, I normally like cheesy, like you can figure it out really quick, things like that. But I just feel like when it's coming out and everything that's coming out around it, it's just not like in a good spot. And people are going to be like, oh, no, it's great. It's a chick movie. I don't think it's going to do very good. I just really don't.
All right, so that's all the movies that this panel has. Now, shout-outs to Mr. Greg Phillips and Nick Duke, the Hard Traveling Fanboys, who submitted this, as well as Andrew Reich, the manager, Todd Weber, and Jason Sherman. So they're all playing along. But for those of us on the panel, the wager is the winner picks any movie they want. Doesn't have to be a comedy, doesn't have to be a horror, whatever. Any movie that you want to do a live watch of, and this panel has to regroup after Labor Day at some point. And now we all know Miranda, it's gonna, if she wins, we're all watching Artemis Fowl when that gets out on streaming.
But oh, I cannot wait. I absolutely cannot wait.
So so
I
no,
take we, it just so she wins.
We will do we will do a live watch, and it could be any, it could be your favorite movie you always wanted to watch, or the worst, shittiest movie that you just want to torture the rest of us with. So does anybody know their movie yet, or are they gonna wait?
Pro Ball Cheerleaders.
Oh.
There we go.
You said any movie.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
If not, if that doesn't is not allowed, probably some sort of bird movie.
Oh, is
just the birds.
Just the birds. Yeah, that's
the
it.
Birds.
The birds.
Oh, great movie.
There you go. Yeah.
Great movie.
Now, is that a adult fare, that movie, Jenny?
Pro Ball Cheerleaders? Yeah. Yes, it's a porno.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's banned from the contest.
Jenny suspends no disbelief.
I know.
No disbelief. Like, I know. It's a porno.
It's a porno. It's that fucking junk.
It's a really great one.
Just if, I was strike,
if we had Jad on here, I'd expect that from him.
From that list, yeah. Okay, so that also eliminates Annabelle Comes at Home. My choice will be Jaws the Revenge 2.
Yes. Okay.
That's what we'll be watching.
Awesome. All right. So, yeah, you have time because it could come to one point of like, I don't even need to think of one because I'm done. I mean, there are a couple. Most of us have our list. I think Scott and Miranda have the two lists that are the most different and could either really kick our asses or just bomb. So wait and see. But the rest of us, we're all in the same similar ranges. It's just a matter of where things finish in like the 2-3 and then the 5-6 ranges. So so let's go around the horn and see what everybody's got coming up. So Russell, what do you got coming up on your neck of the woods?
Well, there's always a new Marvel Age in the works, so you guys definitely be listening out for that. We'll be getting into, I believe it's 1971 will be our next outing there. Tim is also on that panel. So yeah, Tim's actually been doing a really great job of remixing our reading list too. So you guys need to go and check that out and look at his handiwork and follow along with us in our reading. It makes it a lot more fun and a more in-depth experience.
I've also
got, you know, new episodes of 90 to Nothing coming every month, coming up within this month. Sam and I are going to be taking a look at the only Star Wars movie released in the 90s, 1999, Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, because we apparently hate ourselves. And then I've also got DC Post-Crisis Management, which is about to come to an end. It will be coming to an end pretty shortly. There's one more episode to go after the one that's about to drop. The penultimate episode that I did with Stephen Ferrari of the Casual Geekery, looking at the Dark Side War and DC Universe Rebirth. So after that, there will only be one episode to go, and then look out for a special announcement on that episode about what my future here at PTB and Pop is.
All right. Well, we're all looking forward to it. Tim, what do you got coming up?
Yes, the aforementioned Marvel Age podcast. Russell and I are half of that panel. Been a busy month for me podcast-wise. The next show I believe I'll have coming up is going to be Talking WCW. That's the Talking Pup spinoff over on the Place Me Nation Wrestling podcast feed. So look for that. Me and Greg Phillips and Jennifer Smith. So we're going to be talking. I'll go ahead and I'm going to spoil it, Jenny.
That's
I'm
fine.
Gonna say we're going to be talking some Steiner Brothers on this episode.
Oh. School board and ham cubes.
That's right. Exactly. Things are going to get Steinerized. But hopefully our assholes will not. Okay. Keep the Sharpies at home.
All right, Jenny, what's going on your neck of the woods? Jenny?
She gave up.
Is Jenny gone?
Well,
she went to go check if Pro Ball Cheerleaders was on demand.
Well, Miranda, what's going on with Keegan Sapsy?
So she may have to got up to check on Ethan. So at Geek and Sassy, of course the Sassies, if you haven't listened to them, we've gotten a lot of compliments on that one. So even though it's been a while, like check it out. We had a lot of fun doing that one. We had a lot of fun getting your guys' ballots doing that one as well. We did just record last week, so that should be out pretty soon. We tried very hard because we really wanted people to go read the book, but we did Volume 1 of Doom Patrol, the Gerard Way version, and so we tried really hard to do a spoiler-free review of that book, and we kind of overall just caught up, talked to some CW shows, and basic, like, what you read and what you watch in. Of course, we always have our Nerd Eye Candy, and then in our future... we do explain why we'll be taking a hiatus, but we will be taking just a short hiatus due to oral surgery that I have to have. And when we come back, probably most likely looking at some Stephen King stuff happening at King Sassy.
Ah, nice. Awesome. Cool. Jenny, you back on? No? We still can't hear? All right, Scott, what do you got going on over... on the wrestling feed mostly?
We were going to do the next episode of Main Event this week, but schedules just will not allow it, so we will skip a week. We're kind of kicking around. Nate Milton and Steve Woolley may do an episode. If not, we're definitely back next week to go over stuff, including our next New Japan Classic match picks. This coming Monday is the next episode of the Place B podcast, myself and the PIC, as we get ready for WrestleMania 5. We'll be doing our big build show. We'll have a star-studded cast to talk about the mega powers exploding, you know, Warrior Rude and, you know, Powers of Pain and Demolition and all the other great feuds leading up to April 2nd, 1989 in Atlantic City. So that'll be coming up on Monday. And, yeah, all the other great stuff on the PTB wrestling feed. But, yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, busy week over on the W feed.
Ah, all right. I got some stuff coming up. I just recorded, should be up actually by the time you're hearing this. I did a great debate episode with Mr. J.R. Cena D'Amato, Chad Campbell, and Greg Phillips. We ran the gamut of, sports, pop culture. We did our rapid fire, so you should be seeing those up on the Place B Nation Pop Great Debate Facebook page very shortly, so everybody can, participate along. Scott, you and I will be returning with Year in Pop probably towards the end of May. We're going to be doing 1975.
Yes.
As people like to call it, the old cast. And then and also check out the latest episodes of Laughing Theater, Swingers with Todd Weber, Ghostbusters with Tim Capel, and Mr. Russell Sellers coming up in about a week, week and a half. You should be hearing that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if we lost Jenny.
We did,
actually.
We love Jenny.
We can add her back.
I tried. Yeah, let's see.
Well, as we know, Southern Internet is for the birds.
Great.
Preach.
Not cooperation.
Let's see. Let's give Jenny a second to come back on and plug her shit where she can. But also, pay attention to PlaceOfNation.com. Everything's getting up and running. We're going to have more content coming, hopefully almost daily. Check out the Walk Around the Web every Wednesday, Mr. Glenn Butler. And, our next tournament starting soon, as we mentioned earlier in the show, so pay attention for that. That's going to be a summer-long project that hopefully everybody has a lot of fun with and everybody enjoys. So, trying to stall here, see if... Jenny, I don't think she's going to make it back.
Really? 10 after 1 in the morning, we have to fucking stall? Really?
I was trying to add her back.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys all for staying up late. Well, those of us on Eastern time stayed up a little later. First day back at work after being out for a week and a day, so that should be fun tomorrow. Yeah. So I want to say thank you to everybody, and we're going to say goodnight. So for Scott Criscolo, Jennifer Smith, Miranda Berthold, Russell Sellers, and Tim Capel, I am Andy Austin. Thank you, and I hope everybody enjoys the summer. Have fun at the movies, and we'll see you next time on Looking Forward, Looking Back. Take care, everyone.
Singing Sweet Home Alabama all summer long. Singing Sweet Home Alabama all summer long.
Okay. Oh God.